Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
The meatloaf!
These are exactly the kind of go-getters I want working on my EM50 project in Italy.
Oh, my gosh, that gave me a thrill.
Thank God it's
Friday.
Stand by, please, on VT1 in 5.
4.
Base to unit 1.
3. Oh,
go!
2.
Stand by.
1, and take it.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Happy Friday, everybody. 312-981-7200, our phone number. You're going to want to hold on to that. Before 6 o'clock, we are giving away a Chillcation package courtesy of Chicago Hilton. Hiltonsofchicagodibs.com is the website. We're going to take a little Chicago quiz. I don't know how this crew is going to do with the Chicago quiz.
I predict we'll do well.
I like that confidence, Dave Ennett. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Pete. How are you?
We have Coach Lato from the DePaul Blue Demons. They're having a very good year. We're going to talk to him at 7:20 this morning. DePaul, finally having a winning season.
Yeah. No, they look good. Saw them a couple weeks ago against Northwestern. Close game that DePaul was able to pull out at the end. Dropped their big East opener. I think they got Providence in their next game coming up.
Look at you. Man, you're good. Wow. I mean, you're good. The Big East. Wow.
It is. It's tough.
It is so tough.
So is the Big Ten.
The Big Ten. I love basketball season. Go ahead, Joe.
Dave, was that game home or away for the Cats against DePaul?
At DePaul. At Wintrust Arena.
What'd you think of the new arena?
Well, I've been there a couple times.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's beautiful.
It's nice.
Yeah, they did a really nice job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go with my friend Pete McMurray. We're trying to go to a game.
Ask me anytime, bro. I'm ready. I'm free. Let me get a quick afternoon nap in. I'm ready to go.
You know,
to do anything.
All the time is John Williams, so I think you should ask him.
John does.
I'm trying to go with my friend John Williams.
Yeah.
Does John have a connection with tickets? He's got somebody, doesn't he? He's not buying tickets.
Everybody's got somebody.
Yeah, but it seems I feel like I need a better connection. Like Blackhawks, we carry the Blackhawks. I get nothing from this station. How about a little something, something? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so let's see. Northwestern played football at Wisconsin at Camp Randall.
Thank you. Okay,
Who was your connection?
I apologize. You were my guy with that.
Thank you.
Yes, Camp Randall. My wife graduated from UW. I sat in the Northwestern section.
I got tickets anyway.
I cheered for the Cats.
I know you did.
And my wife and son wore Wisconsin hats, and we were on national TV that day. We were on ESPN.
Great.
Yeah.
Go Cats.
Because they were the only ones wearing Wisconsin stuff at Camp Randall Stadium.
No, in the Northwestern section.
Yeah.
It was
really
a sea of purple and gray.
Thanks for that.
My wife and son.
Yeah, thank you.
I tried. Yes.
Putting me on the spot.
I tried. I wore my stuff, buddy. I represented the radio station. And we'll talk to Potsy at 8:40.
Potsy from Happy Days?
Yes. Potsy from Happy Days.
Oh, not a pot-related story, though.
Potsy.
Oh,
Potsy.
Gotcha.
I asked.
Well, we've been talking pot for a couple days
we
now.
We have.
So I just thought, you know.
Maybe we'll talk pot today and Potsy from Happy Days.
Okay.
Here's the backstory. By the way, I was telling Vivi that Potsy just contacted me. We're going to have him on the show today. She's like, what? Who? What are you talking about?
Oh, really?
Who's? What's that mean? Is that pot-related?
It's only one Potsy.
Yeah. It's Potsy from Happy Days. He was the singer in the band, right, Mary?
I believe so.
Okay.
And
that was a show on in the 70s, by the way, Viv.
Yeah. When were you born? What year?
1993.
93.
What?
So, you never watched a rerun of Happy Days?
No.
It doesn't seem like Happy Days is rerun like the Brady Bunch.
It's not on very much.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's a great show.
It is a great show. Makes you happy when you see it. I posted a picture on Facebook in late November with the current cast of Happy Days. Excuse me. And Facebook went crazy. I'm like, we got to get a cast member on. Ron Howard was busy. Henry Winkler, he was already on this radio station.
Yes, he was.
And then I said, okay, how about Potsy? Responded right away. So we got Potsy today, 8:40.
Awesome.
It's a big deal, guys. You can ask him, Mayor. He is also a director. Remember, he used to direct those episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He could have been the most successful one, then Ron Howard ran away with it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Potsy, guys. Potsy. If you're on your way to work, remember you can listen live at WGNradio.com. Potsy at 8:40. All right, time.
Is that the redheaded one, or the, is, did he have
red That's hair? Ralph Malph.
Ralph Malph.
Come on.
I'm thinking of Ralph
Steve?
Malph. Okay. All right.
Man. Ralph Malph.
Finding the memories. All right.
Sit on it, Potsy.
It wasn't Chachi or Joni.
No, I can see his
Chachi.
Face now. I got
there
it.
Was a Potsy and a Chachi.
Yes.
But he was Potsy.
And a Fonzie.
I'm a little disappointed
Fonzie.
In Brzanich.
Yeah, it's a forced error. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Wow, Ralph
I knew that he was the dark-headed one, but I thought, for some reason, I don't know, I was seeing the red-headed guy.
Was Richie the basketball player? I know Chuck, who was on for a season, played basketball. Did Richie play basketball?
Well, he had his letter.
Yeah.
So
his jacket, yeah.
Yeah, he wore his letter jacket.
But I don't really remember him playing basketball, though. What did he letter in?
That's what you need. You need to ask Potsy.
And it seemed like they were in high school for about 7 years. Didn't it? Okay. 519, let's check in with Judy Wang from WGN-TV and find out what she's covering this morning. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Pete. This is a police-involved shooting that happened on the northwest side Thursday afternoon. This morning, Chicago police are awaiting autopsy results from the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office on a man identified by relatives as 30-year-old Mariano Ocon. They say that they conducted an initial investigation, and that investigation indicates that Ocon was shot twice and that one of those shots may have been self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Police say that Ocon was also shot in his upper body, and they believe that that shot was likely the one fired by police at the scene. Relatives say the 30-year-old was the father of six children. Now, this whole thing began, the police encounter with Ocon started at about 12:30 Thursday afternoon with a traffic stop. Police say a man identified by family as Ocon again got out of a car with a woman and children also in this vehicle. And this was in the 6000 block of West Wellington Avenue. Police say the man got out of the car, took off running. Officers during the chase saw a gun and one officer fired. Now, there were children in the vehicle. The Tribune reports that they were four children under age 15 in the car. They were not hurt, but they were taken to Resurrection Hospital just to get checked out. And police took the woman in the vehicle into custody, but at this time we don't know if there are charges pending against her. Now, there is a man who identified himself as the brother of the man killed, and there was a disruption. He walked up to the microphones and he disrupted the whole news conference yesterday. Juan Ocon says that he really finds it hard to believe that his brother would kill himself, and he is waiting for COPA, the Civilian Office of Police Accountability, to complete its investigation and to find out if it was the police bullet or a self-inflicted wound that indeed killed his brother. Police say they did recover a weapon at the scene.
Judy, I saw the footage last night on WGN-TV when his brother walked up to the microphones. He started pushing a police officer. It got pretty tense.
Yeah, he kept saying, don't touch me, don't touch me. I think he said it a couple of times. I think the officers, it appeared they were trying to calm him down, but I think at one point they just said, let him do his thing. He did, on the side, talk with reporters, and, he's very skeptical, but, a lot of that could have been emotion, just, finding out that his brother had died.
Right. And have they explained why, or they talked to the wife, why the husband got out of the car and started running?
That we have no indication that, the relatives we spoke with say that, or the brother specifically said he doesn't know. He doesn't know why this happened, how this happened. It's even not clear why the traffic stop was conducted in the first place. There are indications that perhaps maybe that Ocon's car was involved in an earlier accident, but police have not gone into specifics when it comes to the reason he was pulled over or stopped.
And anytime there's a police-involved shooting, they have an investigation, and that officer is put on desk duty. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, and that is what has happened.
Got it. Judy Wang from WGN-TV. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
That's a very interesting story. I don't know if anybody saw the footage where the brother got up to the microphone stand and just he went berserk, which is understandable, but lots of questions in that. So Judy Wang covering that this morning on WGN-TV. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to give away a Hilton Chicago Chillcation package, a two-night stay with free breakfast, bottomless hot cocoa, and more. Call dibs on your own Chillcation package. If I can spit that out. Call dibs on your own Chillcation package at HiltonsOfChicagoDibs.com. We'll give that away in 15 minutes. Anybody feeling tired today?
I'm not. Nope.
It's Friday.
No one at all is feeling tired.
No, I even woke up about 10 minutes before my alarm this morning.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't. I was having a weird dream.
About?
I'm trying to remember it now. It was weird. I was, yeah, there was a pool involved and a concert.
Pete, was Pete in it?
No.
A dream analyst would say, how did you feel in the dream? Were you anxious? Were you happy?
I was anxious because I was trying to get back to my car in time and there was a pool involved. And then some reason I jumped in the pool because I thought it was a quicker route.
Okay.
It was just the weirdest thing. I don't know.
Do you keep a notepad by your bed to write down things as soon as you wake up from a dream? Sounds like you might want to do that.
No, I don't do that because it makes me crazy.
Wait, Vivi had a comment. What'd you?
I had a really bad dream last night, too.
How did you feel in your dream?
Anxious, sad, and very upset.
So a dream analyst would say, if you're feeling anxious in your dream, you're feeling anxious about something in your real life, Mary and Vivi.
I'm not, that I know of.
Yeah, neither am I.
Are you sure about that?
I'm trying now. Now I'm freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Like you did in your dream.
I was fine before. I think the pool woke me up. That's what did it.
If you're feeling more tired than normal today, yesterday, and today, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine says that 45% of adults feeling unusually fatigued the first few days they return from work after vacation. So that's why people are dragging. But I guess when the holiday is in the middle of the week and you only have to work a day or two.
Yeah, now we have the weekend to recover.
Right. That's nice.
And I, now that I have all my decorations put away and everything, I feel revived.
When I go on vacation.
Ready to tackle the new year.
When I go on vacation, I like to come back on a Friday. Get one in and then take 2 days off. Does anybody else do that?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I think next year, isn't Christmas, I don't know.
Yes, it's on a Friday.
It's on a Friday, so.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, you've already looked ahead.
Yeah. Well, this is leap year, Dave. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We get 29 days in February.
Well, remember this year, the big deal was that there was less time between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
And I believe it's only a two-day difference next year. Or this year.
We get two more days.
People will complain.
And the leap year thing. At least people get to celebrate their birthday this year if they were born on the 29th.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know anybody born on leap year?
I don't.
I don't either.
February 29th?
Yeah.
We should have a contest here at the radio station. Find out whose birthdays are on the 29th. Bring them in that day. Throw them a party.
And
give them a package.
How old are they really then?
Yeah, because they've only had
how many
birthdays every 4 years?
Every 4 years.
That is a great question.
So you're not really,
I'm giving you guys pearls for the morning show here.
Mm-hmm. You've never heard that?
So if
theory?
Well, I think you throw a birthday party on February 29th for the people in Chicago. I don't know anyone. I think I know maybe two people that have birthdays in February. My brother is one.
Yeah, I know a couple. Now, they must sell. I mean, I'm sure they celebrate their birthday on the 28th, always.
Right.
Or March 1st.
But that would be a bummer, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Hey, when's
your
birthday?
True birthday?
February 29th?
Yeah.
When's your birthday, man?
Yeah.
Come
it's
on.
Next year.
Uh-huh.
And why is there a leap year? It's just such a weird thing.
To catch up with something.
Yes.
The Earth's rotation, right?
Yeah.
Science has to do with it. And why is it every 4 years? And why can't we do it every 8 years and add 2 days?
Space guy, isn't it something to do with rotation?
Don't bring me into this. I don't know.
It's got to be a rotation thing, you would think.
Okay, question of the day. Where's the leap year, people?
Where's the leap year, and why is Mary jumping in a pool to get to work on time? There is also something with dreams when you're swimming or running naked. It's feeling helpless.
Tell us about it, Pete.
I don't know what it is.
Will this help? There was a noodle in the pool. And I was
like a floating noodle. Yes. You mean.
Noodle. Now it's
so
all
I
clear.
I had a noodle to help me. So I wasn't going to drown.
What color was the noodle and how big was it?
This is a weird thing. Now it was pink.
You had a pink noodle. I think you need to go see a psychologist or a psychiatrist today of some sort. But if you're feeling anxious in your dreams or if you're feeling happy or euphoric, that means your personal life. There's something that you need to think about. Yes, Vivi, are you feeling anxious about anything in your life?
No, sir. My dream was really complicated because it involved George's mom.
Your boyfriend's mother.
My boyfriend's mother, and she told me that she did not like me and that she wanted me to date somebody else.
Oh,
wow.
Boy.
You are anxious.
But in reality, though, she loves me, and I love her, and there's no beef.
Are you sure about that?
100%.
Coming off Christmas time, where I thought you were going to get engaged this year.
I heard you were bugging her every day, Pete.
I just asked.
He actually texted me.
I sent her a text.
Ring? Pete, you just don't do that.
I've known her for a year. I've known you since you started here.
I know.
It's not like you've known her forever.
It's like my little girl is growing up, and I wanted to know, did anything happen, I think, was the text.
I think you would have known.
Because you two are in love. George is a great guy, great boyfriend. I was just curious.
Yeah.
It's too obvious to get engaged at Christmas. George is waiting for his own day.
They're going to Greece this summer. That's when it's
there
gonna
you
happen.
Go.
Just keep that
there
on the
go.
DL. Okay? I didn't say that out loud, did
it's
I?
It's the atmosphere.
Right.
The background.
Oh, yeah. You're
pictures.
Both Greek. I mean, that's going to be get the Instagram
obvious.
Pictures ready to go.
There we
Let's
go.
Get a video if we can do that. Coming up, we'll give away that chillcation package from Hilton Chicago. But first,
my kind of town, Chicago is my kind of town.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. No, this isn't about Dave Plyer's show on Sunday mornings, the Sinatra Hour. This is about we're giving away a Hilton Chicago chillcation package, a two-night stay with free breakfast, bottomless hot cocoa, and more. Call dibs on your own chillcation package at HiltonsOfChicagoDibs.com is the website. We're going to do Chicago trivia. 312-981-7200. Let's do some sample questions with the crew first and see how well we know the city. Which train line serves Cubs and Sox Park?
Red line.
Red line.
Red line. Hold on. Let me get your bell ready here. That is, the red line is absolutely correct. Chicago's mass transit system is known as the L, short for?
Ding. Elevated.
Elevated.
Train.
That is correct. What is unique about the river in Chicago?
Ding. Flows upstream.
Flows the wrong way.
We get it, Dave. You know all the answers.
Okay.
Sorry, I was writing an email.
Is Dave going to get to answer all these, or do we get?
I won't answer the next one, even though I'll know it.
What street does the Willis Tower sit on?
I'm not answering.
Dave,
it.
Go.
No, you guys are not to answer.
Willis Tower. Wacker is correct. A lot of people don't pay attention to that.
Well, part of it's on Wacker.
Wacker and Madison.
Is it Madison?
No, it's Jackson, Adams, and...
right.
What's the...
It's the president.
But its street address is on Wacker, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a Wacker address.
Two something south, Wacker. Hold on, now I gotta look that puppy up.
What's the street on the east side? Franklin?
Franklin, Jackson, I don't know. You're the producer. Let's look it up. 233 South.
It's entrance is on
Wacker.
Jackson.
Isn't that the address? That's off the top of my head.
233.
233 South Wacker.
Yeah, the entrance is on Jackson.
On Jackson.
South
you ever
side.
Get confused with Wacker because there's East Wacker, there's West Wacker,
there's
South
Lower Wacker,
Wacker,
there's Upper Wacker.
How many floors in this
Lower,
Sears
Lower
Tower?
Wacker.
There is a Lower Wacker.
How many floors in the Sears Tower? 105? That's incorrect?
It's 110.
Where is the sky deck? Deeper. Is that on the 105th floor? The sky deck, is it on 105?
Let me see where it's at. No.
Just one player, please. Just one player. Dave, yes, I agree with you. South and West. Wacker.
It's on the 103rd
east,
floor.
East, west. Yes. Yeah. Because we're East Wacker here.
Yes.
And I sent someone to West Wacker, and they went to the wrong place. You got to put that in.
Right. That's quite a difference.
There are also three basement floors in the Willis Tower.
Really?
Really? Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
When you go up to the sky deck, they take you down, 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 and then you have to go back up. Have you guys done that? Sky deck?
I have
not. I did
not.
It long, long time ago.
And then, you're in front of the, remember, you can, at the end of it, you get to stand in front of the thing and take your picture?
Right.
Maybe it's at the beginning of it, yeah.
You take your picture, and then they walk you through the gift shop at the end, and you always feel compelled to buy something. What iconic Chicago pizza place just moved into the iconic Wrigley Building?
Ding.
Dave?
Malnati's?
Lou Malnati's. Correct. You guys are good. Okay, 312-981-7200. Anna Marie, how are you?
Yes, I'm well this morning. How are you?
Do you think you know Chicago?
Not as well as I probably should. I haven't lived there in over 25 years.
Where do you live now?
Harvard, Illinois.
Harvard, Illinois. What is the cow in the middle of Harvard?
Hermilda
is in Harvard. Yes, am I the only one? Mary, you have to have gone to Harvard, Illinois, and seen Hermilda the cow.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you, Mary V.
No, I am not.
Am I the only?
Samuel is usually here for our Milk Day celebration.
Right.
So there is a WGN connection.
I want to say I've done a radio show from Harvard. Yeah, next to the cow. There's a diner right downtown. Well, Anne-Marie, hold on. We have seven questions here. If you get four out of seven correct, you can use one lifeline. That means you could ask Dave, you can ask Mary, you could ask Steve, or the whole group.
Better ask Dave.
You get one lifeline. All you need is four correct, and we will set you up with that Hilton Chicago Chillcation package. Hiltonsofchicagodibs.com is the website. Hold on the line. We're going to check weather, and we're going to come back to you, okay?
Thank you.
First, let's check in with Orion.
Good morning. I'm sure that the markets for agriculture yesterday, feeling the impact of China-U.S. trade, looking at livestock, first of all, hog futures kicked off 2020 by approaching seven-week highs in gains driven by increasing expectations for bigger sales of American pork to China, because as we've been telling you, about 50% of the pig crop in China has been euthanized, decimated, killed because of African swine fever. So at the end of the day yesterday, April lean hogs were at $78 a hundredweight, up 27 cents. The April live cattle contract down 65 cents at $156.52 a hundredweight, and the January feeder cattle contract down 72 cents at $144.65 a hundredweight. But again, turning to the grain market, wheat and soybean futures hit 2018 highs on continued hopes for China buying with the signing of that U.S.-China Phase 1 trade agreement. At the end of the day yesterday, my market screen was totally green on grain. March wheat up 0.75 a bushel. And March corn up 3.75 cents a bushel. January soybeans up 0.25 cents a bushel. Pretty good upward moves on the opening trading day of the new year. Meanwhile, the trade attaché for the USDA in Brazil is estimating the Brazilian soybean crop at 123.5 million tons. That means Brazil will be overtaking the U.S. as the leading world soybean producer. That's Ag Business. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Big O. Let's give away this Hilton's Chicago Chillcation package, a two-night stay with free breakfast, bottomless hot cocoa, and more. Call Dibs on your own Chillcation package at Hiltonsofchicagodibs.com. On the phone with us is Anne Marie. Very simple. You need four out of seven. You get one lifeline. Anne Marie, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, question number one. What female mayor was elected after the blizzard of 1979 and ran on the notion that she'd plow the streets and get you to work on time?
That would be Mayor Jane Byrne.
Jane Byrne is correct. That is one. Who is keeping track? That
I'll
is one. Okay. Question number two. Take your time on this one. They get harder. How do you pronounce the East-West Street that is named after FDR and near the UIC campus? How do you pronounce the East-West Street that is named after FDR near the UIC campus? Dave, you were going to say something.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Just because it's not my turn.
Anne Marie, how do you pronounce it?
Well, I'd have to know the street in order to pronounce it.
Okay.
I'm a Northwest Sider, so that gets a little harder for me over by UIC.
Do you want to use a lifeline now, or do you want to save it?
I'm going to save it. I'm going to save my lifeline.
You want to take...
Let's just say Balboa. I don't know.
Now, listen to the question. How do you pronounce the East-West Street that is named after FDR and near the UIC campus? You want to take a guess?
Well, Roosevelt?
That is incorrect.
According to who?
We were looking for Roosevelt.
Wait,
Roosevelt.
Wait a minute.
I'm from Chicago. We say Roosevelt.
It is correctly. It would be Roosevelt, but no one calls it that. They call it Roosevelt.
Thank you, Dave.
Who calls it Roosevelt?
It is Roosevelt.
It actually can be pronounced either way.
Yeah, I'm not counting that as a...
I don't think that's going to be
correct.
We'll hold on to that one. We'll go back to that one. Anne Marie, who was the punky QB? Who was the punky QB? I'll give you a hint. The 1985 Bears.
Would that be Jim McMahon?
Jim McMahon is correct. That is two correct. All we need is two more, and you're a big winner. All right. Question number three. What are the cross streets for Sox Park? Cross streets for Sox Park. Shields and... People know Clark and Waveland. What are the cross streets for Sox Park? Shields and what? Do you want to use a lifeline?
I'll use a lifeline on this one.
All right.
Can you help me out here?
35th.
35th and Shields is correct. That is three. Question number, what is this? Question number four, number five. All right. What downtown cross streets mark the zero streets on the street grid? What is 00 on the street grid downtown?
Oh, geez. I should know this one. I'm afraid to answer, and you're going to hold me back.
No, you still. You still have one more question.
I know. I want to say it's Madison.
Come on,
Madison
and what?
The state.
Yes! State in Madison! Woo! Anne Marie's going to be driving in from Harvard, Illinois, hanging out downtown.
Oh, no, I'll take the train in.
You'll take the train in. A Hilton Chicago Chillcation package, a two-night stay with free breakfast, bottomless hot cocoa, and more. Call Dibs on your own Chillcation package at HiltonsOfChicagoDibs.com. How about that, Anne Marie? Have a great Friday.
Awesome. Thank you. You too.
Love it. State in Madison. Made me a little nervous. She had it, though. Always go with your first instinct. Okay?
Yep. Roosevelt.
That is absolutely wrong. The street is Roosevelt. The street is Roosevelt.
What about the university?
Roosevelt.
Roosevelt. The president is Roosevelt. The street is Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
No, it's Roosevelt.
Mm-mm. Why would the street be different?
Yeah.
It just is.
Can I just say in a letter that someone wrote that Theodore Roosevelt was asked how to pronounce his name, and in a letter dated from 1898, he writes, it is spelled pronounced Roosevelt, R-O-S-A-V-E-L-T, pronunciation, first syllable as if it was Rose.
He's wrong.
He's Theodore.
Some people also call it the Jules, but that's not right either.
The pot.
So if Theodore Roosevelt says it's Roosevelt. Roosevelt.
That is a Chicago thing. What is that called? The article? We like putting the article. The Soldier's Field or an S on it.
Yeah.
Yes. How do you pronounce Paulina?
Paulina.
Paulina.
Yes. How do you say it?
Paulina.
Oh. Well, then what's the dispute?
I'm just asking. Paulina, Paulina.
No, Paulina.
Okay.
No.
And it's the Ashland. Ashland.
Ashland.
With the heavy A.
Chicago.
Ashland.
How do you pronounce G-O-E-T-H-E?
Oh, boy.
I'm going to need that slower.
G-O-E-T-H-E, the street that goes east-west in Old Town.
Well, people say it all different ways.
They do.
Gota. Goti.
Goethe.
People say Goethe.
Right. Goethe. They put the R in there. There's no R.
Yes.
Goethe. It's a German thing, I'm assuming.
We should get that renamed. Up there over by there.
From Johann Wolfgang von Goethe.
How about R-O-U-T-E 66?
Route. With Route 66, it's Route. With Route 83, it's Route.
Why
Route
is that?
Route 53, it's Route.
Man, Mary it's really true. Drops the hammer on all these roads.
Why is
well,
that?
Well, because I've been abused by so many years by people saying, no, you're saying it wrong. You know, every time you say schmally or schmale.
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
It's a road in the Western Burbs.
Okay.
S-C-H-M-A-L-E.
All right.
So a lot of people say schmally.
Schmally.
Or schmale.
Okay.
Yeah, and whichever way you say it, you will always have a texter saying you said it wrong. And so I avoid it.
Route 66, you have to really go by what the song says.
Route 66.
That's I get my kicks on Route 66.
But when I head to my sister's in Palatine, it's Route 53.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Route 83 as well.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't it Route 53?
Because that's just in the song.
Okay.
And if you're getting a root canal.
Ah, that is so true. Yes.
Roosevelt.
No, it's Roosevelt. Oh, the street is Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
Top 6 at 6 coming up next. Also, we'll talk to Lou Manfredini, looking for Lou's first call around 6:20. I'm trying to think. I texted Lou this week. Oh, the doorbell. I couldn't remember. He talked about it last week when he was on the show. I have a Nest system. Do I get the Nest doorbell or the Ring doorbell? I can't remember.
I'm glad you're going to ask that question.
I'm going to go buy it this weekend. Absolutely.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 at 6.
What?
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Top 6 at 6 at number 1, U.S. drone strike at the Iran airport killed the leader of Iran's elite Quds force, Qassem Soleimani. And if you're an American and you're in Baghdad, you need to get out. You need to get out of the Middle East. Why would you be hanging out there anyway with all the unrest, especially in Iran?
Well, it could be your job.
Yeah, but would you want to work there? How much money would it take to work in Iran? I don't know if you could get in. How about Iraq? You got to get out of there.
Some contractor people. They make a lot of money.
Iran says they will retaliate, which means, number one, they're going to bomb something. Number two, they're going to kidnap a lot of people. So if you're an American, you got to get out. All right. Number two, former Obama administration housing and urban development secretary and Julian Castro dropped out of the 2020 presidential race. How many are left? Anybody want to take a guess? Anybody? Oof. 14. 14 candidates still left. The top four, Biden, Warren, Bernie, and Buttigieg. Number three, here we go. We're talking pot. Nearly 3.2 million of pot products were sold at Illinois dispensaries on the first day of legal weed sales. More than 77,000 people lined up to buy the pot.
Who counted those people?
77,000. I thought it would be more than 77,000, but the average transaction, what would you think? Average transaction?
$30.
$100.
I'd think $100. Yeah.
$41. Really? That's it. $41.
Yeah.
So there was people buy a few gummies and walk away.
Yeah, there's an interesting story today, by the way, in blockhubchicago.org that some places are running low on supplies. Some places run out of marijuana flower. Let's see, there's a couple of places that didn't have that only have THC gummies and chocolate left. So that's going to be the big question today. Is there enough supply to go around, and will there still be long lines?
You got to get your doobie.
I can't believe there's chocolate left.
Number four, Gene Simmons put ice cubes in his cereal and Twitter freaked out. The KISS frontman, who is 70 years old, started the new year with a Twitter post that read, "Anyone else put ice cubes in their cereal?" Some of the comments, "I don't understand this," one fan said. "This is like a villain backstory," writes another. Another post, "Whoever thinks it's odd that Gene Simmons puts ice in his cereal is forgetting that he used to breathe fire at his concerts." People have a lot of time on their hands. Anybody put ice cubes in their cereal in this group?
I don't, but my mom does.
What?
Yeah. For what?
She just likes ice cold milk with the cereal.
I'm okay with that. I like that. Do you drink the milk at the end with the cereal in it?
I don't think that she does that.
That's disgusting.
I just add more cereal.
Yeah, until it's all gone.
Yep.
Well, listen to this. Pepsi is rolling out its first new tagline in 20 years. Everybody ready? Pepsi, that's what I like.
Swing and a miss.
Strike one.
The taste of a new generation. Taste of a new generation. We remember that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Joy of Pepsi. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Made me happy.
Pepsi, that's what I like.
Then it should be not Diet Coke.
Still not as good as Diet Coke.
Yeah, it's not as good as the taste of a new generation either.
I know, when you're at a restaurant, we had a Diet Coke. Diet Pepsi.
And finally, at number six, congratulations to Adam Sandler's new movie, Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems has the seventh most F-bombs in movie history. John Williams loved this movie. He said it was really good. Said Adam Sandler is such an unlikable person. He does a great job. Should be nominated. Uncut Gems. Are you ready for the top 10? End of Watch at number 10. Alpha Dog at number 9. Straight Out of Compton, number 8. Uncut Gems at number 7 had 408 F-bombs. Casino at number 6, 422. Nil by Mouth, never heard of it, at number 5. Summer of Sam, 435 at number 4. The Wolf of Wall Street had 569 F-bombs.
Here's my question. What is it if it's your job to sit there and count them? What do you call that job?
There is a website that does this, Dave.
It does it. It probably does it digitally, right?
And the top two are documentaries. Number two, a documentary on the F-bomb with 857.
Makes sense.
Well, of course.
And SwearNet, the movie, at 935 F-bombs.
Wow, nobody broke 1,000.
Nobody did. Wolf of Wall Street. I need to watch that movie again. So, so good. Lou's first call, 312-981-7200. If you get through, we'll set you up with something fun.
It's time to learn it all. You're on Lou's First Call.
Hello.
Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Chicago's only family-owned, direct-to-consumer window manufacturer.
And let's bring up Mr. Fix-It himself, Lou Manfredini. I have a few questions, of course, before we take a call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. How are you, buddy?
Gotcha.
What do you mean?
1212.
Hello, we're here. Can you hear me, Lou? All right.
Okay, I will.
Can you hear me? I guess he can't hear us. Okay. All right. Apparently he can't hear us. By the way, Lou's first call is brought to you by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy-efficient windows. And here is Mr. Fix-It. Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I have a few questions for you before we take a call.
Of course you do.
Last week, we talked about the doorbell, the Ring, or the Nest. I have the Nest system. I can't remember what you said. I wrote it down, and I couldn't find my notes.
This is the story of my life with you.
It is, and I apologize for it.
It is like you are like a dog that just can, you know, there's a smell. Oh,
yep.
Squirrel. Uh-huh. Squirrel. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
If you have the Nest system,
yes,
then I want you to buy the Nest doorbell system.
Got it.
That way it's all consistent. And then, I mean, then the thing is, Pete, then you're going to be in that, you know, this is what they want you to do.
Right.
They want you to be part of their system, and then they're going to expand. And the Nest is very good. There's no question.
Sure.
It's good stuff.
Right.
You know, it's Google-based. I mean, do you use one of those smart speakers at home?
Of course.
What do you use?
We use Alexa.
Right. So, you know, you may find that then you may switch over to the Google one.
Oh, we can't do that.
Why not?
We got Alexa all over our house.
Right. Well,
controls the music.
Well, then, if you've got it all wired already with Alexa and you like that,
yes,
then maybe you do want the Ring.
So I got to go Ring. How come Nest isn't compatible with Alexa?
Because it's a Google product.
Oh, I used to have Google, and my wife switched it behind my back.
Right.
But like my Nest thermostat connects to my Alexa.
It does. Correct.
Oh,
but
okay.
There is cross integration between the two, but you don't have the kind of the expansion of it all. I mean, you're fine. If you go with the Ring, because then if you ultimately go with their security system,
okay,
that's where I think the real secret sauce and what people don't know about Ring is they have a really simple to use security system that's very affordable that you can do yourself. and the monitoring is very inexpensive. And the type of control that you have over your smart device to see the cameras, to arm and unarm the system, it's super smart integration. I so far, for me, I've tested a lot of these, and I've found this one to be the easiest to use. And I'm by no means a technical. I'm the head technical guy at my house just because I'm the last one standing. But it's pretty easy to use.
Sebastian Maniscalco has such a great comedy bit about people ringing your doorbell. Back in the day, unannounced, they would ring your doorbell. Right. You'd invite them in. Come on in, have some coffee, cake, let's visit. Now when people ring your doorbell, you immediately check the video screen.
People run.
You're ducking. No, do not answer that door.
Right.
You get it. I'm not getting it. Oh, right. It's only a package. Oh, good.
Right.
Right. We're scared.
I know. I don't like that.
The garage door is squeaking. Can I spray WD-40? What do I do for that?
So the mistake that everybody makes when it comes to the garage door is they start to lubricate the track itself, and that is, number one, the wrong thing to do, because that will actually attract dirt and cause more problems. And so if there's a squeak, it's usually the pins that the rollers are connected to that the door is mounted to, or there's something on the belt or chain on the between the motor and the pulley. There's a pulley that is closest to the garage door when the door is closed.
Yep.
On that track.
Yep.
Many times that pulley is the one that needs a little white lithium grease squeezed into it.
Where do I buy the white lithium?
The hardware store. Comes in a little squeeze tube like you're decorating a cake.
Okay. You know, my father was an engineer at CAT. He's probably rolling over in his grave, me asking these questions,
right,
because he could fix just about anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Change a light switch.
Right.
Do anything.
But you can talk on the radio. I bet your dad couldn't have done that.
He was a very good speaker. Hosted everything. Yeah.
Well, then he could do it. Yeah. So really, what we're saying is, of the McMurray sons.
Our caller just hung up. If you have a question for Lou and you get through, we'll set you up with a nice prize. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. By the way, something that I forgot over the last month or so is to change my filter. And I just changed my filters yesterday. Wow. What a mess. What happens during the wintertime?
This morning when I get done speaking with you on WGN Radio, I'm going to be on WGN TV talking a little bit about, I spent the last week sick in bed, and the germs that are throughout the house, and that dirty filter that you're talking about in the furnace is the number one thing that's, you know, making sure that the germs and stuff are flowing through the house. And if you upgrade to, especially during this cold and flu season, this is a recommendation I'm making, is that 3M makes this ultra allergen filter. Now, the downside to it is it does restrict a little bit of airflow. I'm not going to lie to anybody about that, but it traps so much airborne particulate that bacteria that's in the air, that could be in the air, it'll grab and hold on to and not help circulate through the home. And so even, you know, if all of a sudden people are getting sick and in your home, go buy one of these things and run it for a month.
Wow. Give me the name of it again.
It's the 3M ultra allergen filter. It's $20. I mean, it's not a it's not an inexpensive filter.
Okay,
but you know, along with all the disinfectants, and I'm going to talk about wiping stuff down, and you know, do you think your toilet handle, your keyboard, or your cell phone, or your doorknobs, which one is the worst with all the germs?
I would say my cell phone.
Your cell phone, number one. And we touch it all the time.
We do.
Yeah. And so we just got to start wiping that stuff down, because right now this cold and flu season is really whacking people out.
Did you get the flu shot?
I did, and I still got the flu.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Well, you're traveling, too. You get caught on that airplane.
I guess. It was not
Yeah,
good.
You were in New York last week. I listened last Saturday morning. I was texting you during the show, and that's what I do.
Yeah.
I was in Florida
over the weekend, and so I thought that would help me, but I think I got sick coming back from that.
David, you're our first call with Lou Manfredini. What's your question from Mr. Fix-It?
What is the secret to, like, individual room humidifiers to put in there to keep it from getting all scaly? Is there like a liquid?
You mean the actual unit itself, or getting that dust in the room?
The dust in the room isn't so bad. It's more the unit itself. After a while, it gets a little, like, you know, scaly buildup, and then you want to clean it, but it says don't use alcohol or
right. So one of the things, because depending on where you live, hard water, you will get that scale, and it is with these these Ultra Mists humidifiers. That's one of the byproducts, because they autonomize it, and that's where that scale comes from. It's a pain in the neck, but there is a little brush typically that comes with it, and you have to clean that autonomizer every time you fill it. If you don't, it's going to scale up on you. Now, I will tell you that even though they say don't clean it, I keep a small little spray bottle with some CLR in it, and we use these portable humidifiers, and I'll give a little shot when I take the tank off into that reservoir that's still holding a little bit of water. You know, the pan of it holds water. And then I'll squirt a little bit in there, and then I'll wipe it out and use that brush to clean it all up. And I'll do that, I don't know, once a week, and it seems to be working no problem. Many of the humidifiers, too, where you add the water, have these stones in there to help collect the calcium, and those need to be replaced every 90 days.
Oh, okay. CLR, how often do I have to put that in my dishwasher?
You know, when you start to see the dishwasher not performing the way it has in the past, what I do is you run the water hot, and with it empty, you put it on a short cycle, or even a pots and pans cycle is the best. Once it does that initial rinse and then starts washing, open it up, pour half a cup in, and let it run its cycle. It's not a bad idea once a month.
Once a month. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
You're the best. I'll be listening to House Smarts Radio tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. That is Lou Manfredini. Lou's first call is brought to you by Gilkey Windows. Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy efficient windows. Happy birthday to Eli Manning. How old do you think Eli is today?
Well, I know how old he is.
Do you?
Yes.
39. I didn't think he was that old. I thought he was 37.
Yeah.
So what do? His contract's up with the Giants. Do you keep him? I guess we can ask Camp in an hour.
He said he doesn't want to go anywhere and be a backup.
Okay.
He's not going to be a starter in New York.
Nope. So. Where do you go? Where else could he start? Think of the teams that are in the basement.
Yeah,
he's done, isn't he? He's got to retire.
I mean, yeah. I would have said maybe they'd bring him into Jacksonville before they fired Tom Coughlin down there. But, yeah, I don't. I would think that at this point, I mean, unless you're going to go to a team that has a chance to win, why do it?
Right. Why do it? Is he a Hall of Famer?
Wow. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, he did win a couple of Super Bowls.
He did? Yeah.
A Hall of Famer? I'm not sure he's a Hall of Famer.
They released the list yesterday.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
If he hadn't played his career in New York, would you have asked that question?
No. Absolutely not.
There you go.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But there's people, the writers in New York and on the East Coast are going to vote for him for the Hall of Fame.
Up.
And this year's class seems pretty weak. There's no real big standouts in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, there's two classes this year. There's the regular class, which
right.
they announced yesterday, the finalists.
Okay.
And they also have like a centennial class, which...
That confused me. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's got some better names in it. This one... Troy Polamalu,
yep,
is a finalist.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
I don't think he's a first time Hall of Famer.
No,
is he?
I don't think so. I mean,
good player.
He was
perennial
good.
Pro Bowl
yeah.
player.
Super
a
Joe, you're an NFL
guys.
Fan. Troy yep. Polamalu.
Yeah, it's funny because my buddy texted me about him being a finalist, and he was like, "I never thought he was a Hall of Famer."
Mm-mm.
I think you know. He was kind of iconic for that era, you know, with the long hair
yep.
and, you know, playing in the box for that team in particular, for Pittsburgh. You know, elite player at his position, but I'm not sure. All that points to Hall of Fame, but we're still kind of saying.
We get confused with popularity and
right.
greatness.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
He has a cool name.
The Head and Shoulders commercials.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. TV commercials.
But
Polamalu.
Really, yeah. You look at the names. I mean, Reggie Wayne, solid receiver, right? Had a great career with... Peyton Manning.
And, oh, yeah. Okay.
Torrey Holt, big play receiver, right?
Right. The Rams.
But I mean, Brian Young, I think he's a Chicago guy, isn't he?
I don't even know who that is.
But
who
is
are
he?
These people?
Well, that's a problem, Mayor, when you're talking about the Hall of
yeah,
Fame. Edgerrin James.
Yeah. Layman people can't James. Don't know who they are, then don't let them in.
Is James a Hall of Famer?
There's so many great running backs in the league.
Yeah.
And there have been over the years.
He was good.
He's good.
Was he great, though?
I mean, that's the thing. Where are you setting the bar, I guess, is the question.
Does Hamp vote?
As a living Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
I think he does.
Okay.
So let's ask him for his ballot.
Right.
And how many guys from that Colts team are going to make it? I mean, Peyton's going to be in.
Yep. Yeah.
Marvin Harrison's going to be in. We just talked about Reggie Wayne. That's borderline. I mean, if you put the running back in, you're talking about a team that should have won multiple championships.
Yeah.
And they only got the one against the Bears.
Who's the guy? Who was the center? Saturday? Is it Saturday that's on ESPN?
Jeff Saturday. Yeah.
Is he a Hall of Famer? Or is
He's a pretty good player.
He was good.
You're going to have to ask Dan Hampton about offensive linemen. I mean, I have no idea whether those guys are Hall of Famers or not.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Hamp in an hour. Real quick, I want to mention this. We have some job openings. Mary, you love when we talk about pot. Mary V.
Okay. Back to the pot.
Yeah, we're back to the pot. VV, notice that if you're into pot, there's some job openings, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And what do we have?
We have butt tender.
The butt tender.
Bud
tender.
B-U-D. Tender.
Bud
is this like a
tender.
Pot barista?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Oh,
nice.
And these jobs are they're available at Oak Park, Skokie, Tinley Park, Oak Lawn, Downers Grove, Des Plaines, all over Chicago as well.
So the pot is bringing jobs to the state. Yeah. If you're looking for a job.
You have to take a pot test to get in? Well, you must be at least 21 years of age.
Are you tested for marijuana?
Yes. No, I mean your knowledge of pot.
Oh.
You must know a lot of things.
Yeah, you got to test positive.
For pot knowledge.
What do you call the pot? Do you call it the grass, the dope, the Mary Jane, the hash, the herb?
You call it doobie.
The Aunt Mary, the doobie. I'm trying to bring back
doobie.
Why are
you bringing all these Marys in there?
Well, that's what they call it. The chronic, the chiba, the blunt. What do you call the doobie? The boom, the broccoli, the bobo bush, the bobo, the blanket, the bammy, the baby bang. What do you call the pot?
I don't know. You just make them sound funny right now. I don't know.
So jobs. They can go to jobs.com and just type in pot, and 50 jobs come right up.
Yeah, 100 plus, actually.
100 plus jobs come up.
We just like making those words up.
No, that is the list. Yes, definitely so. The blue cheese, the crazy weed, the crying weed, the dinky do.
He's only on
D's. The giggle smoke.
Wait till he gets to P's.
The gorilla glue. Green Mercedes Benz.
What?
Right. The Gasper. Mm-hmm. The good butt.
What?
Jolly Green, the J, the hot stick.
Side note,
doobie. Yes.
According to ZipRecruiter, you can make up to $30,000. Starting.
Really?
Yeah.
You start at 30 grand?
Tender, yeah.
Do you get a discount?
And you can make up to $76,000.
It's probably like retail. You do get a discount if you work there. You would think.
And you're probably high every day.
Yeah. The pot.
Fumes.
The pot is bringing the jobs. Okay. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. You can see our next guest weeknights at 5 o'clock on Fox News. He is the host of Special Report with Brett Baer, and he joins us now. Happy New Year, Brett. How are you, brother?
Happy New Year, Pete. Good morning.
I was watching last night, and everything with Iran happened when you got off the air. What's the update with that? Can you get us updated?
Yeah, so the U.S. with a targeted drone strike took out Qasem Soleimani, who's the really lead of the Iran Revolutionary Guard, the Quds Force. He's a really bad character who has American blood on his hands, about 600 American troops believed directly tied to Qasem Soleimani's activities, thousands wounded over the time in Iraq. He was a bad guy, and he was taken out, but now Iran obviously is vowing to retaliate, and the U.S. is shoring up American interests across the Middle East in preparation. The 750 U.S. Marines going to the embassy in Baghdad, among other fortifications. And the question is, what comes next as we get closer and closer to something else happening. The bottom line is that the president said if you attack Americans or American interests,
right,
and warned Iran that he was going to act, and he did.
Why did Iran try to storm our embassy? Did I miss that over the holidays? Why all of a sudden did they start bombing and storming and protesting?
Well, it was the Iran back, and they kind of chose that time, seeing that the U.S. was kind of vulnerable in Iraq. There was a militia after an American contractor had been killed by a rocket attack. So it's kind of been this back and forth tennis match.
You still with us? Right.
I'm with you, sorry.
Oh, okay, we were losing you for a second. I missed that last part. Yeah. So there was a little back.
It's kind of a tennis match of violence, back and forth. Yeah.
The back and forth. I want to talk about the presidential race. Julian Castro dropped out yesterday. We have 14 left. Who are your top three right now? And the Iowa caucus is, what, a month away? Is that right?
February 3rd.
Okay.
So less than, a month from now. And, I tell you what, it's up for grabs. There's a lot of movement happening. And Pete Buttigieg is well-organized, looks good in the polls. Amy Klobuchar is kind of an outside chance. But nationally, Joe Biden's still holding on to a pretty significant lead nationally. But the biggest surprise is Bernie Sanders, who's raised the most money, is the most organized online, and has the most donors, and kind of the most enthusiasm among his supporters.
Really? So he's right up there in the top
ascendant.
Three. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he squeaks out a win at either Iowa or New Hampshire.
Andrew Yang said in the last 90 days he raised $16 million. Who's going to vote for this guy? I just don't understand it. And why is Marianne Williamson still in the race?
Those are two very good questions. I think the second one is more relevant. She just fired all of her campaign staff, all of them, and yet says she's still in the presidential race. So I don't know how that's going to work out. Andrew Yang, though, has been kind of an outsider who has touched the imagination, especially of young people, with this, $1,000 a month payment.
Right.
With concern about American artificial intelligence and talk about doing things completely differently. And he's had some really good debate performances that have raised some eyebrows. I mean, $16.5 million in the quarter is not anything to sneeze at.
That's pretty impressive. But where does the $1,000 a month come from? Who pays for that?
He has this whole equation where we eventually end up paying for it. But you can do it on the back of a napkin, but I'm not sure it's going to work out. In the debt or deficit category.
See, that's the stuff why I could never do your job, because I couldn't read about that minutia and then tell people about it. We're talking to Brett Baer from Fox News, host of Special Report with Brett Baer. Your first story last night on Special Report was about the president banning the sale of certain e-cigarettes. I have a 14-year-old. You have two boys. What do you say to your boys about vaping?
Well, listen, I tell them it's not worth it. You know, it's not, it may sound or look cool to some people, but long term, it's not good for you. But that's me, you know. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what does that mean for, you know, freedom? What does it mean for our ability as a country to say, you know, you can do what you want within regulations? I think that the concern was that the kids numbers were skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add these recent deaths with the off-market pods that they believe are, you know, killing people. It's a bad equation. I think the administration, you know, fell short of banning everything and kind of was in a compromised position. But it's a big story. It affects a lot of people.
And U-Haul said they won't hire people who use nicotine. Can they do that?
I think that's going to be challenged in court.
Wow.
I do. I think, I mean, listen, that you're discriminating based on somebody who smokes outside. I'm not sure it's going to hold up, but we'll see. I mean, it's not a protected class. in you know, the court system, it's going to have to be challenged.
Right. And I want to talk about Instagram before you go. I know you're pressed up top of the hour. You're going to be on Fox and Friends in about 20 minutes. But your family pictures on Instagram, your wife, yeah. Your wife, Amy, two boys. Do you ever fight with your wife? You look like the perfect family.
Instagram is like that. It puts in those nice pictures. There's a couple bad pictures in there. No, of course we do. Of course we do. But it's fun. We decided long ago that our family was out there, so it's okay to post some pictures. And you know, on the Christmas stuff, especially at the beach. Why not? Everybody needs a couple smiles.
Well, let me give you a little peek into my life. We drove from downtown to Naperville on Christmas Day. My sister lives in Naperville, and my wife turns to me and she says, "Why is Naperville so far? I just don't understand it." And, of course, I have to come back with a smart aleck comment like, well, that's where Mr. and Mrs. Naperville settled when they got run out of Chicago. Why do you have to talk to me like that? And then, you know, I don't see that happening at the Bear household.
Oh, it does. It does.
I love that.
Just like every other household.
Well, Happy New Year. Thanks for coming on, and we'll talk soon, okay?
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
That is Brett Baer. You can check him out. Special report, Brett Baer, Fox, tonight at 5 o'clock. Great thing about today's show is we just got done talking pot, and we're going to talk to Potsy at 8:40 this morning. So keep on the pot. Thanks again to Brett Baer. By the way, I like to think that everybody that is somebody goes through Rockford, like Cheap Trick, Pete McMurray. When I graduated from Bradley, I worked in Rockford, Brett Baer. That's where I met Bear right after college in the old Rockfish. Anybody work in Rockford here? Rock Vegas? Anybody?
I delivered Red Bull to Rock Vegas.
To the bars? And
to the gas stations. Yeah.
The gas stations?
Where there were signs on the windows that said, "We do not sell individual cigarettes" at multiple gas stations. Very Rock Vegas.
Hey, that is the Rock Vegas. Now they're getting a Hard Rock Casino. It's going to be a destination, man.
You know it.
It's really growing, Rockford.
I am so psyched. And what did we find out the other day? Rockford is number 3 in the state, right? Chicago, Aurora, Rockford. Third largest.
Really?
Was that when you guys were here?
That's right. I think that's right.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah. We went through the top 10. Huh.
Aurora. One of my best friends got married in Rockford at the beginning of October. It was a good spot, you know?
Where in Rockford? Just curious, where did he get married?
Like right down the street from the convention center, or, you know, the ice arena.
Downtown?
Mm-hmm. Downtown.
You mean, know it. Yes. I know exactly where it is. I lived on First Street in Rockford, the convention center.
If we walk down downtown Rockford now and mention your name.
Yeah. Dave. 20-some years later. Absolutely. You can bring me up.
Oh, we have a lot of listeners in Rockford.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I think at one point I was the king of Rockford back in the day. I mean, we all remember the 90s. It was a great decade for all of us. Yeah. Making a lot of bank, living in the Rockfish, the Rock Vegas. Yeah. Okay. So Red Bull in Rockford.
Yep, that was me, delivering Red Bull.
I like that. By the way, I did get married in Rockford, too. Married a Wisconsin girl. We met in Rockford and moved to Chicago.
Down the street from the convention center?
I can't think of the name of the arena downtown. I lived right next to it. Peoria Civic Center.
Metro Center.
Thank you. The Metro Center in downtown Rockford. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Getting text messages in from my Rockford people. There it is right there. 779 area code. I remember Pete in Rockford. He was great. Regards from Rockford, 815er. BMO Center in Rockford, formerly the Metro Center. Excuse me, 815 area code. Rockford still loves Pete, 779. Thank you. My Rockford people. Joe, I don't see any gas station owners texting in about the Red Bull guy. What year was that?
That would have been around 2012. Mm-hmm. 2012.
So you missed the legend. I left in 98. I was there after college, 92 to 98.
Just missed it.
Yeah. It's too bad. Okay.
Yeah, we could have really torn up Rockford.
I say this all the time. I had 6 years of college after college in Rockford. I absolutely loved it. I have a soft spot in my heart for Rockford.
Let's go back.
I wouldn't go back anytime. I go back once a month. I still have friends there. And that Hard Rock Casino, man.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
That's definitely when we're going back.
Dave Bennett, you're a regular to the gym.
Yes.
This is a busy time of the year. Mm-hmm. Where the regulars get very frustrated with people with the New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's some tips.
I get frustrated.
I do. I get frustrated. There's a lot of crazies that show up and they kind of mill around and take space up.
Yeah, but you know they're not going to last.
Are you one of those guys that goes to the gym and likes to get in and out? Or do you like to just kind of, you know,
oh, no.
take care of business?
Out. Yep. Just get there, get it done.
I'm an in and out guy.
Yeah.
I like to time myself, and I'm always keeping my heart rate up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now I've seen you, because you're frequently tweeting while you're doing
Thank you, Dave, for following me on Twitter, @PeteMcMurray.
Pete McMurray.
I do that. I like to post some of my workouts, yes, but here's some tips.
I do not. Go ahead.
Here's some tips to survive January. I appreciate it. What are you doing today? What are you working out today?
Well, you know what? I tweaked my back a little bit.
Ooh.
And I went and had a massage yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Dave, how's your hammy? Don't you have a hammy problem?
Well, I had the hammy's better, but now the back.
Oh, gee, Dave, you're falling apart.
Dave's got a hammy.
Yeah, so I want to get at least walk on the treadmill today. Get,
okay.
Kind of get things good. Moving. And
I'd love that you're injured.
Some,
just
do
the advantage
core,
I need.
Core stuff.
Oh, yeah, you got to work on the core.
Always.
Especially after eating so much.
Any person over 40 listening to my voice needs to work on their core.
Mm-hmm.
And take vitamin D every single day. Some tips to get through the New Year's resolution. People, keep it in perspective. Remember, this will be done in a month. This will last 30 days. The gym will be packed. And then come February, everybody will be gone. Switch up your gym time. Do not go tomorrow. You know how packed the gym's going to be tomorrow on a Saturday?
Oh,
it's going to be ridiculous. So maybe you take tomorrow off and go on Sunday. A lot of people aren't going to go on Sunday. Or you go today. It's crazy.
This whole thing sounds very down the nose. Like, it sounds like you're, like, so much better than the people that are trying to better themselves.
Well, thank you, Joe. I am.
that was well said, Joe.
It's all about routine, and when you mess up someone's routine, they get upset.
Yeah, but right? Why don't you be more welcoming and saying, like, hey, you're using that machine wrong, or why don't you work out with me, you know, at this time of day?
He's got a point.
Or spot somebody.
It's like when you have a niece or nephew or a brother that dates someone that you know is not going to last, or you don't want to be friends with them. So someone's going to show up at the gym, you're not going to see them after 3 weeks. So come February, I won't see these people. 50% of the people that I see tomorrow at the gym, I won't see in a month.
Yeah. But if you were nice to them and welcomed them and were less frustrated, they may stay and get healthier.
I know I sound like a jerk, but
take them out to lunch.
Hey, this is
be
what
nice
happens.
To them.
You got to get out of my way. I got my stuff. And the people that go in on a regular basis, like me, should have, you know, priority. If I want to use the bench, if I need the bench. I should have priority. Sorry, dude. You weren't here last month. You just joined. You're out.
If they're only going to be there for a couple weeks, then let them have it.
Change your routine. Everybody and their brother does chest on Monday. Maybe you do legs.
Where do you work out again? Because I might join your gym and just come and bother you.
Take it outside. Do cardio outside. I belong to Fitness Formula Club here in Chicago. And take some time off. Maybe you take the next few weeks off. Give your body a rest and then pick up in February and do that.
And find other ways to be nice.
Oh, come on. The regulars, you guys don't get frustrated with the people that show up and take up time. I mean, tomorrow will be a zoo.
Yeah, we have a 9 o'clock class tomorrow with our women's barbellas class. It's going to be packed. I know it.
I do an 8:15 class, and I'm going to have to show up like at 7:15 just to get a spot. What time do you have to get there, Mary, if you're taking a 9 o'clock
well,
class?
Ours is like a social. You know, we gab a lot because it's a bunch of women in this class.
Oh, I don't like to talk to anybody.
Oh,
you're wasting time.
We have a great time. We go out together. We do a lot of stuff. Strong U Gym in Villa Park.
Dave's shaking his head. I'm not talking to anybody.
I'm not going to be unfriendly. I just want to get
right.
In and get
I don't want to. I don't want to chit chat. I don't want to talk to anybody at the gym. I want to keep my head down, headphones in, do my deal.
Can't wear headphones.
What do you mean you can't wear
headphones?
Not in
my workout class. We have too much fun.
Well, I understand that. If you're taking a class, you're not wearing headphones because of the instructor.
Listen to the instructor.
But in general, if you're doing, you know, cardio work or, you know, floor work, you're listening to headphones, right?
I never wear headphones. Even when I'm running, I don't.
You never listen to music?
Nope. I like to catch the scenery around me, listen to the, you know, outdoors. and watch for cars that are going to hit me as I cross the street.
Wow.
No, I don't.
I could never do
anything.
That. You get a little tired. You don't put on the Rocky theme to get you motivated.
Uh-uh.
You
sometimes when there's like a Cubs game, I'll listen to a Cubs game.
Wow.
Yeah.
847 area code. The reason I still belong to the gym is because someone welcomed me and helped me when I first started. As a New Year's resolution.
There you go, Pete.
I wonder how many people of the newbies give up because they feel unwelcome by the regulars.
There you go.
Well, there's got to be a hazing period. I mean, if still, we know that you're serious.
Hazing.
If we know that you're serious and you're going to stick around after February, that's when I befriend you. Hey, man, great to see you in here. Nice job. It's February 4th. I love you. This is great. Now we're brothers and sisters. Brother and sister.
You sound like you're extending that olive branch.
The bottom line is, just kind of move away from me this month. Okay? I need my space. Thanks. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to DePaul's head basketball coach, Dave Lato, in just a second.
For news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Boy, you bring that promo every time you read it. I mean, you should read that on TV. You bring it, Dave Ennett.
Thank you, Pete.
Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. DePaul men's basketball started the season at 9-0. They lost a tough one Monday night in the Big East opener to Seton Hall, but they are 12-2 on the season, the best start in decades. Joining us is the man that turned around this program, the DePaul men's head basketball coach. It is Dave Lato. Coach, how are you? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much, Dave and Pete. Appreciate you having me.
Rough game down the stretch Monday night. You guys went cold.
Yeah, you know, and we've talked a lot about it, especially when you get into league play and Big East or any league. You got to be able to finish games because they're going to be 1 and 2 and 3 possession games down the stretch. It's a very, very competitive situation. Seton Hall, very experienced. They've got a tremendous outpitch in Miles Powell, and he was really good at the end. And you know, as you said, kind of the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, our ability to execute and get the shot we wanted wasn't what we needed to be. And when you don't do that, you pay a price, in spite of the fact that we played pretty well, we defended pretty well for the most part. So, you know, we've got to regroup and get back to the drawing table and correct some things and get ready for the next one.
You know, Dave, people have kind of looked at the start you guys got off to this year and thought, well, look at this, DePaul's come out of nowhere. But really, and last year you showed signs of this. Now, I know you have some different guys now, and you lost some guys off last year. That happens in college basketball. But it's not entirely out of the blue for you, is it?
Well, you know how this thing goes, in that if you're a business owner, or you know, you try to put something together, in this case you're trying to piece together a program, and overnight success sometimes takes a long time. And we've been trying to piece this thing together since the day I got back in 2015. And last year, as you mentioned, programmatically, I thought we put a lot of things together that would be stability issues from a foundation standpoint and culture standpoint, and you know, it had taken a while to get to that point. And then it showed itself on the court. First time we had been to any kind of postseason tournament in a long time. And guys like Eli Kane and Max Strus, and you had a one-year guy in Femi Olugbe that really, you know, did some things and said some things or about some things that could last a long time. And so when you have that kind of carryover with Paul Reed and Jalen Butts and some of the other guys that have been around, then you have a little bit of a chance, and our talent has improved and our chemistry has improved. So then you have an opportunity like we've got right now, and you know, and try to take advantage of it as best we can.
If people don't remember, you coached at DePaul 2002 to 2005. You had great success. Yeah, I want to say you went to the NIT twice and the NCAA tournament once, right?
Yes. It was an NIT, NCAA, and then an NIT once again.
And then you came back in 2015. Did you think that it would take this long for people to take notice? I know it's been frustrating along the way, but did you think that, hey, I'm going to be back maybe 2 years, and here we are, but we're 5 years now. It's been 5 years, 4.5, 5 years.
Yeah, so there's no timetable on it. You want it to happen as quick as possible. You know, we live in a world where we'd rather get everything quick. You know, I want my meal real fast. I want takeout rather than a sit down and have a good, well-cooked meal. So I understand from my standpoint and from program standpoint and then from a fan base, you want it to happen real quick. But I knew, you know, you couldn't eradicate what had happened in the previous years before I came back in a moment's notice. You know, it was going to take some time if in fact we wanted to build it for the long haul. You know, I didn't want to be, and I said this to Gene Lenti-Ponsetto, my terrific AD, and everybody around here, I didn't want it to be a one-hit wonder. And in order to do that, you've got to put the building blocks in place that can, as I said before, make it last for a long time. So I didn't know. And hopefully it was going to take that, you know, 1, 2, 3 years. But we had to go through this to get to this place we're at now.
One important building block is the building, right? I mean, Wintrust Arena, which is really a beautiful facility. But does it take a while before you kind of start to see the benefits from something like that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it was a long time in coming, a collaboration between the university and the city. Mayor at the time, Rahm Emanuel, having terrific conversations with Father Dennis, our former president. And so those things took a lot of time. And then when you put the building together, people don't just automatically walk in and say, wow, you know, now this is here. There's a lot of things that became part of it. And there's still a lot of things that we have to do to make it the true home court advantage that it has become from a recruiting standpoint, just a fan base standpoint. The casual fan wanted to be a part of the experience at Wintrust. A lot of other things that go into showing up, you know, to a great place. DePaul has such a rich history that people want to be a part of it. But, you know, coming downtown, kind of piece the thing together between wanting to be a team that Chicago can embrace and being right in the middle of the city.
The college basketball season is such a grind, Coach. I mean, of course, you have the games, you have practice, the students have to balance studying, but I saw you at a few games last season at DePaul College Prep. You're recruiting during the season, too, and you're watching basketball. How do you balance all that with yourself and your players?
Same thing I tell our young guys when they go to school every day. You have to have pretty good time management. I've got a really good staff that kind of helps direct me and put me in places to make sure I take care of all the business issues that have to be taken care of, particularly something as important as recruiting. So, you know, on days that we practice early, I can get out at night. On days that we're off, I can, you know, get to the airport and get to see somebody who's not local and just kind of spread myself to places where, one, I'm visible, and two, it's taking care of our business that way. So, you know, it's part of the love of basketball and love of what we do. And you just, you know that, especially during the season, they're constantly on the go. But, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. Somebody's going to tell me at some point that I got to get a real job.
You know, there are those of us who've been around this town for a while who remember when DePaul, when they were in their heyday in the late 70s and the 80s, it was unbelievable. They dominated certainly the winter sports scene here. And now, over the last several years, you've seen different programs, Northwestern in 17 and Loyola in 18, and now you guys have gotten off to this great start this year. Do you sense that we're sort of going through a renaissance of college basketball in this city?
Yeah, I think, you know, the two situations previous to ours that you mentioned state that. And, you know, as I come to really truly understand, and that not only is this a pro sports town, it's a sports town, which includes both college sports, in this case college basketball and high school basketball, and anything that makes fans come out and love and support the local teams. And so it was amazing what both of those programs did. And, you know, we're trying to follow their lead and make sure that we capture the hearts and minds of you know, our fan base, not just DePaul fans, but, you know, fans all around the Chicagoland area.
As a sports fan here in Chicago, I want to see the high school kids stay at home. I don't want to see them go to Duke or Kansas. I would love to see a star here in Chicago from high school go to DePaul. I would love to see that. I'm sure you would, too, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, over time, we're trying to change the mindset, not just of young people, but the people around them to make that happen. And, you know, we got one on the rebound, didn't start out as a high school guy here, and Charlie Moore, And so we're trying to capture, as I said, the understanding that if you have an opportunity to stay home, that some really, really good things can happen to you, both on and off the court. So we're going to continue to sell that as a really, really good piece because, as you mentioned, when DePaul has been really, really good, and by and large, it's been with some guys that have stayed home and chose DePaul as their school of choice. So it's a battle, but we're going to continue to fight that battle and hopefully in a very positive and successful way.
How do you not look ahead? I'm looking at the Big East. I mean, every team has double-digit wins except two. Providence has 9, and Providence has 8, and Seton Hall, who you just lost to, has 9 wins. But everybody else, 13, 10, 12. How do you not look ahead at the entire grid, or how do you teach your team just to look one game ahead?
You know, it's just as best you can. It's a little easier for a coach because I've been through it a lot, but you know, a little bit more challenging for the young guys to stay in the moment. I try to preach that every single day. Today, in preparation for tomorrow's game, is the only day that really matters. You know, we've got to get ourselves ready for a very experienced and high-quality team, and Providence is coming off of 2 really, really convincing wins. And so if we have an opportunity to look past that, then we've made a very critical mistake, you know, in how we're going to approach this season. You know, we've got to be able to make sure that we take care of our business in that moment, and stay in that moment. Physically, it's a little easier, but mentally, it's more of a challenge, and we've got to be able to have our guys understand that.
Coach, I know when you hear my voice, you say, Pete McMurray is a two-guard. I'm a shooter. I appreciate that. What's so funny?
What? That is the case, and I also know that because of it, you can shoot that long ball very well.
Yes, thank you, Coach. I wish they had the three-pointer when I was in college. Coach Dave Lato, continued success, and we'll come out and see some more games this season. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate
Thank you, Coach.
Me.
That is Dave Lato. We love when DePaul does well in this town.
You know, I actually did DePaul basketball for a year back with Coach Ray when Joey Meyer was coaching there. And
really?
Now Joey does the games with me. And,
yeah.
You know, it was sort of the tail end of that era, obviously. But a couple of weeks ago when Northwestern played at DePaul on a Saturday night before Christmas, it was a great atmosphere at Wintrust Arena. It was a great game, too. It went down to the wire. And Charlie Moore, he mentioned, played at Kansas, came back here.
Right.
And he is a heck of a player.
It's good to see the local kids play locally.
Yeah.
Loyola, Northwestern, DePaul. Yeah. I graduated from Bradley or ISU. You want to see them stay in the state. Remember the big deal when Tommy Kleinschmidt graduated from Gordon Tech? I'm great friends with Tommy, but when he made that decision to go to DePaul back in the early 90s, that was a huge deal.
Yes, it was.
He was one of the top players in the nation at the time.
Yeah.
But thanks again to Dave Lato, DePaul basketball. Coming up, we'll talk to Hamp. The Hall of Fame ballot just came out. Also, the Bears aren't in the playoffs, of course, but we'll talk about that playoff grid coming up. We're all upset the Bears aren't in the playoffs. Disappointing season, but NFL starts this weekend. Let's bring in the Hall of Famer, number 99. It is the Danimal Dan Hampton. How are you this morning?
Hey, Pete. Just great. Happy New Year. And away we go. Doesn't seem like it took very long for 12 months to fly by, but here we are at the most exciting point in the NFL season, the wild card weekend, and, of course, the divisional round next week.
Well, the Hall of Fame ballot came out, and I've asked you this before. Do you ever wear that yellow jacket out in public?
No, not unless I'm selling real estate.
I would love for you to wear it one time here at the radio station.
I got to tell you, once in a blue moon, I will get a request to do like an appearance, blah, blah, blah. Can you wear your jacket? And most of the time, I politely decline. I mean, my gosh, it looks like the sun coming across the floor at you, giant yellow jacket.
Right.
Look, I'm obviously honored to have it, wear it. How many times have you seen me with my Super Bowl Hall of Fame ring? That's not my style.
Never, now that I think about it. You never wear that ring. Do you ever wear that out in public?
The ring?
Yeah, ever?
On occasion, sure. And quite honestly, there's a lot of folks here in Chicago that over the years, think about this. I mean, my goodness, it's been
over 30 years, and the reason I do this show is desperately seeking, you know, Super Bowl trophy number two, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. And I don't know. It used to be kind of fun. I remember we had a coach in college, and we had what we called the JV team, right? And their job was to kind of run plays against the varsity, give them a picture.
Sure.
And so we called them the Kodak team. That's what Lou Holtz called those kids when you're a freshman, you know. Anyway, we would go to a bowl game every year. Normally in the bowl game, you'd get a watch. And it would be kind of a cheap Rolex watch, but it would be a Rolex. Anyway, after, you know, it was, you know, 100 degrees, and they've run 30 plays in a row, our JV coach, Joe Friend, would say, all right, let's take a look at it. He'd pull his sleeve up, go, there you go. That's what we're playing for here, gang. You know, like a – well, in an abstract way, I think the players, hey, if they see somebody with a Super Bowl ring, they should say, hey, I want one too, and I will redouble my efforts in order that I can get a Super Bowl trophy and ring myself. So,
right.
You know, let's hope somehow this kind of rubs off on the current team.
So let me get this straight. Back when you were in Arkansas, Lou Holtz was the head football coach. You would get a watch, a Rolex watch, for winning a bowl game. Do you still have those watches?
Well, the Cotton Bowl gave us one, and I gave it to my brother. And then the Orange Bowl gave us a ring, and then the Fiesta Bowl gave us a watch. And we tied that game. I don't know whatever happened to that watch. It doesn't have any value to me.
And they give now the bowl games. I mean, some of them give watches, really elaborate watches.
Okay.
They'll give video game sets. They give really nice headphones, wireless headphones. I mean, all kinds of stuff. There are, you know, it's. I don't think that the days of the collectible watches.
Well, it's a Rolex, and my point is Rolex never loses value, so that thing's worth a lot of money.
You would think, yeah.
Nah, this is like a Timex Rolex. It was cheap. My brother likes it when I gave it to him, so that's all that matters.
Okay. Coming up, we're going to check weather, but we're going to talk NFL football. And I want to ask you, the Hall of Fame ballot came out. Are there any standouts for you that definitely go into the Hall of Fame? Okay.
All righty. We'll get to that as soon as you get back.
All right. Dan Hampton, always brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, Chevy Drive Chicago. Chicago.com. He's on the phone with us. Hall of Fame ballot is out today. First of all, you vote, right? Every single year?
No, we do not get a vote in it. And it's primarily 50 media representatives from all the NFL towns.
What?
That's the gig. Yeah.
Wow, I thought you voted every year, so you don't get to vote. Man.
I thought they did, too.
Yeah. So, any standouts this year? Have you seen the list?
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys that deserve it. I think LaDainian Tomlinson. A guy that I like is actually, I've never met him, but he played safety at Arkansas and then played for the Denver Broncos. His name is Steve Atwater, and he was a terrific player. For about 15 years, he was the consummate, gold standard in the NFL at safety. So I'd like to see him make the Hall of Fame. And you know, there's a lot of coaches that, this being the 100 year anniversary, that's going to be an enlarged class, an enlarged prostate class. And some of these guys, they deserve to get in. And one of them is Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, obviously a two-time NFL head coach, two-time Super Bowl winner.
Right.
He has a lot of credentials, a lot better than a lot of guys that's in the Hall of Fame. So I hope that Jimmy gets in.
We mentioned this earlier. People make a mistake. They mistake popularity for greatness, like Troy Polamalu. Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, or was he just a popular player that had a few good years?
No, he was a good, you know, and again, that, you know, it sounds so, I don't want to say hollow, for me as a member of the Hall to kind of critique other players, but I do know this, that he had one of the major reasons why I think I made all pro first or second team like 8 of my 12 years. Well, not every year can you be great, especially me. I had to deal with like 12, 14 knee surgeries throughout that, so it was always an uphill battle. So was Troy's career, but when he played, the Steelers won, 78% of the time. And when he didn't play, they would win 30% of the time. Something and very similar kind of numbers that I had, and that's remarkable when a safety has that much of an impact. So I would say, yeah, Troy is he was a great player for sure.
Every year, Hamp, when you get to the playoffs, there's like a team that maybe just managed to sort of sneak in.
Vikings.
How do you look at it? Do you look at Minnesota? Is Tennessee that team this year? Is Minnesota that team? Philly? They had a win at the final weekend.
It's every year, and that's the whole thing. You got to get to the playoffs, and that's one thing that I think that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace they took for granted after last year. Boom, pow, we're 12-4. We won the division. Hey, we're in the playoffs. Hey, this is gonna. And I told you the story about the Super Bowl ring. After we got the Super Bowl ring, I was very distraught, and I didn't like it. And I had Mike McKeskey in a headlock. And I said, what are you doing? This is such a cheap POS ring. We need a better ring. And he goes, let go of me. Let go. And so he goes, damn, we're the youngest team in football, and we're going to go back the next 5 years. Every year it'll get bigger and better.
Oh, boy.
And I said, wow, that makes sense. Well, guess what? Never went back. So same thing with Nagy. They thought, we'll roll our helmet out on the field. We're the Chicago Bears. We got Khalil Mack, and we'll go back. Well, guess what? It's not that easy. So the teams that ground it out all year long, like Philadelphia, maybe even Seattle, in a way, the Minnesota Vikings, they have a certain toughness, a grit. That a lot of times it kind of pays off. But Tennessee is, you can make them one dimensional real quick. And the only way they will win this weekend is if they get their running game going and they're able to get a lead on New England. And then they can do – they have an offense that we would be very smart to pattern ours after, which is run the ball and then go play action because they have a limited quarterback, a quarterback that doesn't read very well. And so you try to make things easy for them. And if they're able to get a lead, New England is got trouble. But I think everybody, New England's lost two games now in the last 3 weeks. And everybody that always seemed to start saying, this is the year, the end of Tom Brady. He has a way of, like Dracula coming back.
Never count him out. Yeah.
Yeah. So what teams? I'll tell you, I like Seattle to go and beat Philly.
Okay.
Think about this. Carson Wentz, we've heard him for years. This is his first playoff game.
Right.
It's been Nick Foles. So, yep. It'll be a new cup of tea for him. And we all know Russell Wilson is, he's the dirty dealer. He can make it happen in clutch moments of games. Yeah, almost and should have won the game last week against a much, much better team in the 49ers. So I like Seattle. I like New England. I like Houston. Houston and Buffalo. Buffalo's got a tough defense. They don't give up big plays. But Will Fuller, hardly ever talk about the second receiver. But when Will Fuller is active and playing on the field for the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson has the best numbers of any quarterback in football the last 2 years. So he's going to play. He's going to make a big impact. I like Houston. And the thing about New Orleans has got to be really, really kicking themselves. They're 13-3.
Oh, yeah.
Normally that gets you a week off. Well, this year it didn't get you a week off, and now you got to go out there and grind it out against a Viking team that's kind of struggling and jumping around. But here's the one thing. I think Sean Payton says, I'm going to try to get a big lead and blow these guys out. I don't want to be in a close game in the final minutes. They lost in Minnesota 2 years ago on that botched, play by the safety that gave Stephon Diggs the touchdown in the final seconds. And then last year, that penalty, that phantom penalty call. So I look for Minnesota to blow them up. So we'll see what happens, but those are my picks.
Okay. Dave?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think I already said last week, I think I got the Saints as my upset pick to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to bet against New England playing at home.
Can't.
Houston, I go along with Hamp there. And then, I think that Seattle looks tough. It's still tough to go into Philadelphia and win a playoff game, but... I'm going to go with the Eagles are the only home underdog, I think, this weekend, although very slight underdog. So I'm going to go with the Eagles at home.
You're taking the Eagles at home. I took the Seahawks, the Saints, the Patriots, and I took the Bills to upset the Texans.
There you go. But here's what, this is wild card weekend, and yet we've got three Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees playing on wild card.
Deshaun
Watson, who knows? He's the guy we passed over for our genius. So it'll be real fun watching every one of these games.
Hap, did you hear anything from the Bears on Tuesday that encouraged you, gives you hope, or are you just kind of taking the wait and see approach?
I wish I could tell you what the great Ed Obradovich had to say about that Dog and Pony show. And, at some point we will address that in the coming months.
Mm-hmm.
But first and foremost, guys, and I've said this, we've got trouble. And what's really, much like the goof on the front of the Titanic that sees the iceberg and doesn't know what to do,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's what Ryan Pace sounded like. And it's like they don't know what they don't know. So, look, you and I, we've heard this all year. Trubisky's our quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And we've seen that he has regressed. So a lot of the answers they gave are not the right answers. Hopefully, somehow, some way. And how disingenuous to have that press conference knowing you're going to fire four guys off of the staff.
Right. Why didn't you do that ahead of time?
I'm just saying, this is it's very shoddy workmanship is all I can tell you. And, not only does the Bear fans deserve more, by gosh, we expect more at the very least.
And, Hamp, before you go, Chico was named head coach in Washington. How happy are you for him?
That's great. He's one of the true, really good guys that I played with. I liked everybody we played with, except maybe a couple guys. But at the end of the day, Chico, he was a prince. And I'll tell you this, that team, that's got a core. They, even though they were playing for nothing the last 2 months of the season, they gave everybody a fit. So he's got some players. He'll be back in it next year, and he could win the East.
Yeah, but right. that situation in Washington, though, that's you want a challenge, you got a challenge
it's
there.
It's tough. Well, he can do it. He's a good coach. Dan Hampton. Hamp, thanks so much. I'd love to see that yellow jacket sometime.
I'll bring a picture. Go Bears!
All right. That is Dan Hampton, always brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Remember, Bob Surratt's here in this seat starting on Monday. Let's bring in Dean Richards from WGN-TV. Happy Friday. We don't have Dean. We got to switch him over. Sorry about that. Hold on, Dean. We'll switch Dean over in just a second. Dean Richards from WGN. There we go. All right.
Am I switched over?
There you go. How are you, buddy?
Am I switched over now?
Yes, you are switched.
What does that mean?
We have two switches. We have a loose switch and we have a Dean switch. It was on the loose switch.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Now it's the Dean switch.
I did not know that. I was just saying, when nobody could hear me, that I grew up listening to Bob Surratt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
On WLS?
On the WLS, yes.
On the WLS.
Actually, you know what? I think I first heard him when he was a subversive FM DJ on, I don't remember what station it was, but it was, you know, like all hippie talk and...
I miss the term hippie.
Yeah, you know, every sentence you had to say bong in it.
Right. Yes.
Bob was definitely, he was a subversive FM DJ, and he was one of the first FM DJs, I think, to make the switch to FM to AM.
It's usually the other way around, AM to FM, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I guess so, but yeah, so it'll be interesting. I'll be here doing entertainment with him.
By the way,
I'm told. I haven't read my memos today, but well, as far as I know.
It is Friday, so be careful. By the way, keeping with the pot theme this week.
How long have you had to wait in line so far to buy some weed?
I have not made it yet. I have not made it there, but keeping with the pot theme, we talked about pot earlier. We're having pot C on at 8:40.
Oh, look at you.
Anson Williams.
Yeah.
And the reason was, I posted a picture of the Happy Days current cast, what they look like now, about a month ago, and people went crazy. And I started thinking, how come Happy Days isn't on reruns? You never see it on TV anymore.
That's very true.
Why is that?
Can I say something that may not be a popular statement? I don't think the show holds up that well.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it because of Fonzie? Just because it's, you know,
no, I think
set in the 50s?
I think shows like that, these are shows that I was a fan of during the first run. But when I watched that in reruns, Laverne and Shirley, which I was a huge fan of Laverne and Shirley.
Right.
They don't feel like they hold up very well to me. Maybe,
okay.
You know, maybe to others, they love their schlemiel, schlemazel, Hassenpfeffer Incorporated.
What is a schlemiel? Schlemazel?
Well, I think, it's not schlemiel. I think that is a derogatory term in Yiddish, I believe.
I apologize for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was Laverne and Shirley. Schlemiel, schlemazel,
okay.
Hassenpfeffer Incorporated. Da, 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 da.
Do we know what that means?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
I think it was just made up words because they were doing a little dance.
Might be super dirty for all I know. Yeah.
In Laverne drank...
We have to get rid of all the dirty material today, Bob, starting on Monday.
What was Laverne's drink with milk? What did she put in her milk?
Don't remember that.
Was it beer and milk?
Ugh.
Laverne had something. A crazy drink. We'll look that up during weather. Coming up, we're going to talk to you. I have...
When is Potsy on?
Potsy is on at 8:40.
8:40 today.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to talk about pot with him at all?
I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Anson Williams.
I think it was Pepsi and milk.
Pepsi and milk. Yes, it was. Thank you, Mary. Pepsi and milk. Coming up, we're going to talk to Dean. The Coachella lineup has been announced, and this affects us here in Chicago because I feel like all the festivals are the same. I go to Lollapalooza every single year, so when you announce Coachella, which I haven't looked at, I feel like that's going to be the lineup here in Chicago for Lollapalooza. Also, we'll talk Golden Globes this weekend. More with Dean in a second.
For news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
It is 8:17. We're talking with WGN TV's Dean Richards.
Hey, can I ask Dave a question?
Yes.
Dean. Those people that you just mentioned?
Yes.
On the WGN news at night at 9 and 10. Who do you like best? Because you're often there.
Well, great question, Dean.
I haven't been on there in a long time.
Or
Dean,
you could answer the question, who do you hate of all those?
I like all of them. They're all very nice people. I like everybody at WGN TV, as I'm sure you do, too.
You don't find Skilling gets a little handsy once in a while?
Well, I'm on the other side of the set from him.
You and Dan Rohn, no fist fights, fisticuffs?
No, damn. I'm never there when Dan's there. We're never seen in the same place together.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. How nice a guy is that Joe Donlan, by the way?
He is a great guy.
Super nice.
Do you guys say that about me when I'm not here?
I don't think I ever have.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem, buddy.
Does anybody else go to a Lollapalooza on this show besides Dean and myself?
I do.
Yeah, I know you do. We go every year, don't we?
Super Joe doesn't go?
I go to the Rock Vegas version.
What is that?
I'm not sure I can. It's safe to say on air.
Because, Dean, here's the problem that I have with Lollapalooza. I think there's a festival deal where they have these top artists that just go around the country and play at the same festivals.
Mm-hmm. Somewhat that's true. But you were saying about Coachella, for example, where Beyonce famously headlined, and Beyonce's never been here at Lollapalooza.
Okay, but Ariana Grande
did.
Last year.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan, so I didn't really care about seeing her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the nice thing about Lollapalooza. There's like 108 stages.
Yeah.
Or 108 acts on, what is it, like 9 or 10 stages, something like that?
It's crazy.
There's something going on everywhere all the time. And, you know, there's just such a huge variety of music.
I try to explain to people, and maybe you can confirm this, Lollapalooza is like walking into Costco. You never walk in the middle. You only use the sides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Do you have to push a cart around?
You don't, but you may have to carry a drunk person.
If only they had free samples of, like, beef jerky.
Be careful with the free samples.
Stuff
like that. I call it Molly.
Especially this year.
Yeah, the pot change.
Yeah, that's going to be different.
It's going to be.
Wow,
well,
that's going to be different at Lollapalooza.
I mean, Dean, last year there was pot everywhere. That's all you could smell. I mean, it was even worse, and people didn't care. They were just walking around.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be different this year, though. I may have to wear a gas mask when I do my reports from out on the street.
All right. Tell me the headliners for Coachella.
So the big headliners are going to be Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, okay.
Travis Scott and Frank Ocean.
No relation to Billy Ocean?
No relation to
okay.
The Caribbean Queen Man. That would be fantastic.
I would see Billy Ocean.
If they made a mistake and accidentally booked Billy Ocean.
No, they're all
Caribbean Queen.
I'd be happy to see that.
There are sad songs. I know my Billy Ocean songs, my friend.
Right.
Yeah, so those are the big headliners. Rage Against the Machine. Coachella goes for two different weekends. The weekend of April 10th and the weekend of April 17th. Rage will headline on the Friday nights. It's Travis Scott who is headlining on the Saturday nights and Frank Ocean on the Sunday nights. But, you know, there's Calvin Harris, Lana Del Rey, Lil Nas X, who had the, you know, the biggest song of 2019.
Yep.
He's going to be
with the cowboy boots.
With the cowboy boots.
He's got to be uncomfortable on his feet.
Especially in the hot summertime.
Yes.
I'm guessing not a lot of ventilation in those cowboy boots.
Oh, they're not breathing.
I have not worn any in years. But, yeah, so a lot of huge names. Tickets are going to go on sale. Pre-sales will begin on Monday
for
our vast WGN audience who loves going to Coachella.
If you had to guess, don't you think Rage would be playing here in Chicago?
Yeah, Rage would is, you know, there's some bands to me that just sound like Chicago.
Right.
You know, they have a kind of a raw edge to them, and I think that Rage, I'll bet, will be at Lollapalooza. Frank Ocean can sell out arenas on his own, and Travis Scott might do Lollapalooza, too.
Well, Tom Morello grew up in, what was it, Libertyville? In Rage Against the Machine?
Did not know that.
Libertyville guy.
It's a beautiful place in the country.
Yes,
Libertyville.
It really is. The guy from that 70s show, what's his name? Wilbur? Wilmer.
Wilbur. Wilmer Valderrama.
Yes.
Is his name.
Okay.
He was on the 70s show. Now he's on NCIS. He's been on lots of different shows. He got engaged over the New Year's weekend. Got down on one knee in San Diego. Proposed to his girlfriend since last April, who is a model named Amanda Pacheco.
Mm-hmm.
And he got down on one knee and said, it's just us now. And she accepted, so happy days for them. He has long been one of the most eligible bachelors.
I just don't understand him, because I've seen interviews. I'm sure you've talked to him. He's very soft-spoken, and he comes off as very guarded. Not much of a personality.
Never got that from him.
Okay. All right.
Maybe
every time I bring up a celebrity, you're like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
I've never talked to him, so you would know.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he's been very nice. Oh, by the way, speaking of celebrities that I've talked to, today is Mel Gibson's birthday.
So I noticed that.
Happy National Blank Hole Day.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've since made up, correct?
We have. Well, it wasn't exactly a makeup, but we're friends now.
Okay.
Mel Gibson, for those that don't know, famously called me an a-hole when he thought we were finished with an interview that he did not particularly care for how it went, because I asked him legitimate right. journalistic questions.
Right.
So, you know, the Mel Gibson did it. It went viral. It went crazy. But then I interviewed him when that movie, what was that movie, the war movie that he directed now? What was that called? I can't think of the name of the movie, but it was fantastic. He's such a good actor and such a good director, really. Vince Vaughn was in the movie.
I don't know.
It'll come to me, or okay. somebody will text it in. But anyway, so this was going to be my first time getting together with Mel Gibson again since that day.
And did he know when you walked in?
I wondered, should I say something or should I just not say something? I went in, I put my hand out to him and said, "Hi, Mel, nice to see you again." And he took my hand with his steely grip.
Yeah.
And was shaking my hand, and like he wasn't letting go. He was like, you know, staring at me and holding on, shaking hands. He didn't say anything either. Smiling and just shaking hands, but not letting go of my hand. And that was my way, the way I interpreted that.
Oh,
was,
yeah, he knew.
I know who you are.
Right.
Don't try anything.
Don't do it.
You know he has 9 children?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And his wife is like 29 years old?
Yeah. Well, this is his second or third wife.
Yes, second, yeah.
Didn't that second wife, wasn't that the one that ended with all the recordings?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There was... well, was that the recordings? Was that his girlfriend at the time?
Oh, maybe.
Or was that his wife? I can't remember. But we did the math, you know, backwards once we learned about all that. And the time when he called me that name was when he was going through the most domestic conflict. So, you know, he had a lot on his mind.
I mean, we're all stressed.
Yeah.
You got to be nice to
people.
Anyone
can have a bad day.
What is going on with Marvel? They're wavering now?
Well, yesterday there was a story that the president of Marvel Films had said that there will be a character in the Marvel Universe that is transgender. And now Paul Feig, is his name, is backing away from that, saying that he didn't make himself clear. Somebody asked him, will there be LGBTQ and trans characters in the Marvel Universe? And he said, yes, in fact, we're working on one right now. People took that to mean that there was going to be a trans character. And he has now clarified that there is not going to be a trans character, that there will be a gay character, but not a trans character. So for those of you keeping track, keeping your scorecards in Marvel movies, that's the latest on that.
The Mel Gibson movie, Hacksaw Ridge. According to about 100 texters
right
now.
That was a good movie. That was a really good movie.
Never saw it. I'll put that on the list. Oh. And my favorite award show happening this weekend. Do you like the Golden Globes?
I like the Golden Globes. I like them for the... for the folly that is the ceremony, because they all sit in the Beverly Hilton Hotel and they get drunk.
Booze it up.
They really booze it up during the show. And often when they get on the stage, there are unpredictable things that happen because of all of the alcohol. So in that sense, I think it's really funny. This year, Ricky Gervais is back as the host. The show is going to be this coming Sunday. And Ricky Gervais is always hilarious, so that could be really funny. In terms of any kind of credibility of the actual awards, the Golden Globe, to me, has about the least of any of the organizations that there is. You know, the Academy Awards are given out by thousands of people who work in the industry. Different categories. If you're an actor, you vote in the acting category. If you're a director, you vote in the director category. Cinematographer category. So, but there are thousands of people comprising the vote for the Oscars, for the Screen Actors Guild. It's nothing but actors, but thousands of actors. Actors you and I are in a part of this, as part of the Screen Actors Guild, which is our union.
Right.
We are eligible also to vote. It's people in the industry. The Golden Globes are given out by an organization called the Hollywood Foreign Press. It's about 70 entertainment journalist. So picture a room of 70 dopes like me that sit around and they vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's just a lot of credibility with, you know, such a small group, number one, but one also that can be very easily influenced.
And the lifetime achievement goes to Tom Hanks, so yeah. he'll have a fun speech.
Yeah, oh yeah, Hanks will be great. That's going to be a highlight of the evening. The nominations, you know, the Golden Globes breaks down for their movie awards. They do best drama, and then they do best musical or comedy motion picture. In that category, it's Eddie Murphy's Dolomite. It's the murder mystery Knives Out. It's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's the Elton John movie Rocket Man.
Mm-hmm.
And also the movie Jojo Rabbit. On the dramatic side, The Irishman is nominated, Marriage Story, 1917, Joker, and The Two Popes. I would pick 1917 out of that bunch. I would pick Dolomite in the best musical or comedy category.
Got it. That is Sunday night on NBC.
Right. Okay. And I will have all the recap. I watch so you don't have to. I'll have the recap for you on Monday morning, both on TV and the new Bob Surratt morning show.
And I will hear you on Sunday because I do the show after you on Sundays.
That's right.
So I'll see you on Sunday.
You never stop in and say hello anymore, I know.
Because I'm always late.
Yeah, I've noticed. That's
all
like,
right, I walk in.
Pete didn't come and say hello.
2 minutes ahead of time. I'll try to get here earlier on Sunday.
Do what you have to do. It's all right.
Yes. Have a great Saturday.
Have a great weekend. See you guys.
All right. That is Dean Richards.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you.
How does that not make you happy? I posted a picture on social media last month of the cast, the current cast of Happy Days, a current picture, and people went absolutely berserk. So we decided to grab someone from the cast to say hello to Chicago. Please welcome in the man who played Potsy in Happy Days. It is Anson Williams. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Good morning, everybody.
Thanks for waking up in California so early.
Thank you.
The very first comment on this picture by a guy mm-hmm. named Kevin Keyes, what do you think it was?
The very first comment on the picture, how young I look.
Well, those are comments. People say that you guys still look great, but Kevin Keyes wrote, sit on it, Potsy.
Oh, thank you. Okay, yeah. That was going to be my second answer.
Right. I mean, you must hear that every single week. It never ends, does it?
Oh, the sit on it stuff?
Yeah.
I don't. You know, a lot. You know, it's pretty much part of the fabric of the country. But it's not. But you know, it's always done with heart and love and appreciation. I mean, it's just been it's pretty amazing. It's been a wonderful ride. Who would have thought? You get in your first television series, and it still echoes, it still entertains today. You know that it's still in people's hearts, and we know we're putting smiles on you know people's faces. It's just a very lucky break in life.
I'm not saying this to kiss up, but all of the cast, you guys look fantastic. You really do. But the best person is Marion Ross. Mrs. C looks fantastic.
No, you know, she's 91 years old.
What?
91 years old.
Wow. I mean, she looks hot. Yeah.
Oh, she's unbelievable. She's also, I mean, we're very, very close. I mean, she's been such a great influence. I've never met a more positive person. Not only is she an amazingly talented artist, she always finds the best in people. You know, she always has something good to say. Never,
all right.
Nothing bad to say. She reminds me of Betty White a lot. Betty White's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Who they just have an energy and a positiveness. They lift people's spirits, and I really think that has a lot to do with their agelessness.
Of course,
you know their kindness, and their caring for others.
Right, and she's always smiling in every picture you look at. That Marion Ross. In the picture, Donnie Most, Ralph Malf, Ron Howard, Richie Cunningham, of course, the Fonz, Henry Winkler in the middle, then Mrs. C, and then you to the right. Are you guys still close, the cast? Do you still keep in touch on a regular basis?
We do. We do. Now, Don Most, who plays Ralph, is one of my best friends. He lives very, very close to me, so we see each other all the time. And Marion, she doesn't live that far away. I mean, she took me out for a birthday lunch, so I see her at least every month. Henry, he's when we can, and he's always around the country, you know, doing something or filming his show, Barry. But constantly keep in touch. And then Ron, you know, Ron's all over the place, but we're always, you know, we at least get together a few times a year, and we're always in touch through texts and through emails. I mean, it's been over 40 years, and it seriously, it's a very, tell me about it. Seriously, it's a very, very tight group. Deep friendships.
I got to tell you, Henry Winkler is so good in the series Barry. I mean, he's just great. He finally won an Emmy Award, and he deserves it. He's so good.
No, but you know, what's really interesting is he is a very, very special, very talented actor. But if you look at Henry, you know, and then you look at Fonzie, and he created that character. They didn't write that character. He created that character. Then they wrote what he created. He well deserved that Emmy 42 years ago.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He really did. I mean, if you look at his acting job, because there's not a bit of Fonzie that's Henry Winkler. Totally created.
How many women did he make out with in the series? Did anybody count how many girls he kissed on screen?
Actually, that would be a cool thing to do, wouldn't it?
There's got to be a website somewhere.
Guinness Book of Records thing.
There's got to be a website.
What actor kissed most in the history of television? I have no idea, but it was quite a few per show.
We're talking with Anson Williams. I'm going to have you hold on. I want to come back. I want to talk about the characters and some of your favorite episodes. And also, I want to talk about Fonzie jumping the shark. We're talking with Anson Williams, who played Potsy on Happy Days. 720 WGN. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. On the phone with us is Anson Williams, who played Potsy on Happy Days. You're raising awareness. Before we get back to Happy Days, you're raising awareness about the four D's in driving. Is that right?
Well, it's more than that. It's actually a product. You know, he's my second cousin, but I call him uncle since I was born. He passed away a few years ago. It's Dr. Heimlich, who created the Heimlich maneuver.
What? You're related to Dr. Heimlich?
Yes, he's my cousin. I called him uncle for my whole life. Big influence on me. In fact, he and I got the Heimlich maneuver on national television for the first time in the 70s on Merv Griffin's show.
You're kidding.
And then 3 weeks later, it was on Carson, and it blew out. I know we don't have time. It's a very long story, but we've been very tight.
Wow.
So, yeah. So years ago, I almost killed myself falling asleep at the wheel driving. And I talked to Dr. Heimlich, and he said, you know, cut up lemons. And he explained how the citric acid and sour lemon and the sour taste of lemon hits the lingual nerve on top of your tongue.
Okay.
And the reflex reaction of the body's adrenaline. You're up. Alert, your body waking the body, nothing in your system. So I did that. And then years later, I started researching because I had gone in the product business too, besides just entertainment. We love creating problem solving products. And I just learned how catastrophic drowsy driving is. It's up there with guns. There's more deaths, tragedies than medicated and drunk driving combined. It's horrible. It's really a huge, huge problem. And I thought, what if we created a spray drop with citric acid, sour lemon, and hit the lingual nerve on top of the tongue? And I talked with Dr. Heimlich, and he said, absolutely do this. So we did. We developed Alert Drops. And if people go to alertdrops.com, it's a very simple, natural way, old science, to stop yourself from falling asleep at the wheel and killing yourself or killing others.
So if people
go to alertdrops.com,
okay,
they can read all about it. Read all about it, and it's already been honored by the United States Congress, California State Senate, City of L.A., and also it's a big deal for college students because they're up studying and they're over caffeinated and they're going to hospitals and they're taking all these energy drinks. Well, now they're using Alert Drops, and that way they stay up, they're healthy, they're alert, it doesn't ruin their sleep pattern. So anyway, if people go to alertdrops.com, they can read all about it and not only save. Make sure their family comes home safe with their friends and everybody else. Very, very important. It's something that we can, in this crazy world now where we feel we have no control,
right,
we can stop these unnecessary tragedies.
Well, for a guy like me who's over-caffeinated, and today I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, this is all natural. It doesn't contain caffeine?
No. What it is, it's the citric acid with the sour lemon. It's science. Old science.
That's it.
And you spray it on top of your tongue, and there's a nerve called the lingual nerve. And, you know, like you go to the doctor, and they have the little rubber mallet, and they test your reflexes.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
It's the same thing. It's sensory connection reflex of tongue and brain. So you spray the literally citric acid, sour lemon water, a little preservative for shelf life. You hit the top of your tongue with a spray or two, and instantly, your body wakes the body.
Damn.
That's simple.
That's good stuff.
It's very, very simple. And by the way, all we do is create a better scooter. I mean, MIT did studies with it years ago, and it's all on the website. So, and Dr. Heimlich, he's an egghead. He knew all this. So what I tell people is this. I said,
okay,
you know, Alert Drops is great. It's convenient. It's there. However, if you don't want to buy it, that's fine. Then have cut up, if you have an exhausting job, have cut up lemons with you.
So, Dr. Heimlich is your cousin, and I just found out, is your real last name Heimlich?
Yes, Anson William Heimlich. I changed it legally years ago.
Wow.
Now I wish I wanted to change it.
Man, that's pretty impressive. We're talking with Anson Williams. We have a few minutes left. I want to ask you about some of the characters on Happy Days.
Yeah.
Pinky and Leather Tuscadero, were they cousins? And Fonzie dated both of them, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is,
I think so.
It's a little strange. I know you get weird questions all the time, but the demolition derby.
That's a first. I haven't thought of that before.
Well, Pinky and Leather, they were cousins, and Leather or
right.
Pinky went away, and then he started dating Leather. Which was
I don't know, did he really date her, because he remember then Linda Pearl came in with her daughter,
was that Leather or Pinky?
No, remember Linda Pearl played this other and it became his girlfriend, and she had that little daughter Heather O'Rourke, who was in Poltergeist.
Is that when he switched from the leather jacket to the sport coat?
Yeah, he went from leather to lace, you know.
All right, I got to ask you about the demolition derby with the Malachi brothers. The Malachi brothers.
By the way, I remember that day shooting that stuff.
Well, the Malachi brothers were driving dirty. There were three cars left: the two Malachi brothers and Fonzie. And one of the Malachi brothers threw baking flour at Fonzie, and he pulled out a hairdryer and blew it back. Where did he plug in the hairdryer?
Well, that's called TV magic. It's like Gary Marshall would say. Gary Marshall would say, they won't even notice. It's funny. They won't care. It's just like Chuck, the brother.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes. Where did he go?
People don't realize with Chucks, there were two Chucks. First, there was Chuck, the basketball player.
Yep.
And they go, the character's not working. Maybe we should recast. So they literally the next week, there's a new Chuck playing the same character.
Yep. And then Chuck went away after a year.
And he goes, yeah, after about four episodes. And then Gary goes, yeah, no, there's no place for the character. There's no place. We got too much. He goes, we're going to send him away, and he won't come back. No one will notice.
Except everybody did.
But it went on. No one cared.
Right, right.
But now it's like, you know, a constant question. What happened to Chuck?
Right, of course.
Well, which one?
People are digging it up. Why did Fonzie jump the shark? I can't remember the premise, but jumping the shark now in our society is such a catchphrase.
Well, number one, there was a bet and a contest, but they wanted Fonzie to do something physical, right?
Okay.
And the one thing Henry could do physically was water ski. So okay. Gary goes, he'll jump a shark. That'll be exciting. and we're going, uh-huh, okay. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Everyone puts that episode down, okay?
Right.
However, we went on for five more years.
Right.
So it's not exactly like we went down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, a guy who worked for Howard Stern created, years later, jumptheshark.com.
Right, the website.
And he put on that website, right?
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, he used the hat. I guess he didn't like that episode. And he used that one as kind of the jumping point. It kind of stuck. But you know that guy, years and years ago, TV Guide bought it for him for $10 million.
Wow, look at that!
Jump the shark, yeah. But anyway, that's yeah. Anyway, that's. But basically, the reason the whole episode was centered around what Henry could do physically.
That's it. I remember him wearing the life jacket over his leather jacket.
Funny.
On the skis. I love that.
Funny.
Anson, I could sit here and talk to you about a thousand things. Mary, did you have one question for Anson Williams, Potsy from Happy Days?
Yeah. Hi, Potsy. I was just, oh, sorry, hey, Anson.
That's
you know,
all right.
You just want to call
Potsy. I answered anything. It's fine.
Okay, cool. I was looking up, was there going to be a remake like in 17 or something with Netflix? Whatever happened with that?
You mean a reboot?
A reboot, yeah.
You know, Derek, it's so fun. I've heard... I don't know. There's maybe a few ways to do a reboot. You know, because I don't know if Henry's still going to do it again or Ron. Maybe they would do a few guest things. But there are a couple of clever ideas out there to do a reboot, which actually might work. But nothing official. Just kind of it's kind of like turning around. You know, and what's so interesting is the picture that you guys saw from that event we all went to a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Ron Howard took that selfie. That's his picture. He took that selfie of all of us.
He did a good job.
Okay.
Yeah.
He has a long arm.
But anyway, since that came out, there's been a lot of talk. You can just feel it in the air. Feel it in the air. You know, this reboot. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to happen with Friends. It has to happen with you.
Anson, you're the best.
It could work. It actually could work. So, we'll see. You know, people out there start writing that. We'll see. There's a possibility.
You never know. Anson Williams played Potsy on Happy Days. Great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Everybody, have a great day and a great new year.
All right. He still sounds the same, too. That is Anson Williams. Doesn't he?
We forgot to have him sing.
Oh, yeah. He was a singer in the band.
Yeah.
What a great guy. I mean, I reposted that picture on my Facebook page if you want to check out. Everybody in the cast looks great. They look fantastic. Sean Williams getting dressed up, looking good this week. What's going on here?
Well, radio,
the bosses are here. Is that what's going on?
A little bit of that.
Uh-huh.
Actually,
yeah.
Bob Surratt's going to be in the building, and I want to look my best.
Are you going to bring him in?
I actually have no plans to do so. I just saw the
I'm notes. Giving you material. Let's go.
What do you mean?
Well, Surratt's here. Bring him in. He's doing the morning show starting Monday.
I know that. I'm well aware of that.
Yeah.
I just got the message. I mean, I knew about that, but I just didn't know he was going to be here at 10.
It's one thing to wear a sport coat to work.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to wear the pocket square in
the
sport coat.
Popping the pocket square.
Man, you brought it this week. You're looking good.
Dave Ennett, are you writing some of this down?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Yes, I am.
You know, our news click has nothing to do with World War III, which may be about to erupt. And we'll talk about that. But we're also asking, if you gave the Sox 10 games, who wins more games next year, the Sox or the Cubs?
If you give them 10 games.
I think the Sox.
The Sox plus 10.
Absolutely.
I know we're late. Let's do the news. We'll get into this afterwards. But a whole show planned, both local and global.